Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 271.
Damn.
My name is Christopher Riccio, and I'm here with that lovely voice, Jason A. Schrecker.
Damn. How you doing?
Damn. I'm doing good.
Is that lovely?
And then we got Jeff 22.
What up? What up?
Today we are actually talking about our museum pieces. We've put this one off for long enough.
We're planning to anyway.
We're planning to. We'll see how it works out. We're not as creative as MC, I don't think. He had a really good one. So, before that, we'll do distractions and some news. Afterwards, we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. But before that, Jeff, what is up, dude?
Hey, not too much. It's been, you know, slow week as per usual. Last week was kind of, you know, low key, chilling. Didn't do too much last weekend, but it was fun nonetheless. That's it. Nothing exciting. Nothing new.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Jason.
I guess. Hey, no news is good news, right?
Exactly.
Jay, what's up?
Nada mucho, senor. It's been a pretty good and productive week. I actually had my review at work, and that went really well. That's always good.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't pay me more money to do what I do.
That's good.
That is very good.
I'm like, ah, suckers. But yeah, I've been.
I watched one of your videos today.
Oh, which one?
I watched the Tomb Raider. What's it called?
Test Chamber.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was good.
Well,
it was entertaining.
Yeah, I had to cue that up to a specific part. We actually recorded it originally, like a few days before that one, and it just didn't go well. Like, we spent too much time talking about this. Not enough action going on. So, I suggested that we reconvene over the weekend, and I found a good queue up spot.
Now, did you guys get permission from them to do that?
We did. Yes.
Okay. I was wondering because Jeb and I were talking the other day, saying that they couldn't put up any of their video stuff until it releases because of some video embargo or something like that.
Yeah, direct feed video longer than I forget how long it is. Not allowed to do, which is weird because some places will do video reviews and they had a lot of clips of the game, but it wasn't for more than like 30 seconds at a time. Mm-hmm. And we did like a 15-20 minute video, but it was pretty informational. So
yeah, it was more of like, it was actually very informative, actually.
Thank you.
I see why your place of business gets their name.
We inform shit.
There you go.
About games.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Hey.
Yeah, that was an awful lot of fun. I got to play during that one, and I kind of redeemed myself because the last video that I actually played the game was Far Cry 3, and that was terrible. Oh, it was so embarrassing. I died so many times.
This guy doesn't know how to play video games.
And we actually,
we
reshot that one too because I did so bad. I wanted to redeem myself, and I did just as bad the next time. There's two Far Cry 3 Test Chamber videos out there of me just sucking really, really bad. But
that's awesome.
This one, I was kind of on point. I feel better about this one. Nobody broke my or hurt my feelings on YouTube, so
well,
I consider
good.
That a win.
All right, cool. Not a whole lot going on this end. Just getting adjusted for what will be happening in 2 weeks from today, actually.
New job.
New job. Well, end of first job is 2 weeks from today.
See you, suckers.
New job is 2 weeks from Monday. But, it's nice. I apparently made a really good impression on everyone because, when my boss announced that I was leaving on Friday last week, the day after we recorded, one of my developers almost started crying.
Yeah.
And let's see.
It's because they realized they actually have to do work now.
That's right. I was stopping them from doing work. I protected them from that, right? But, and also the CIO pulled me into his office and, thanked me for everything that I had done and said that if I ever wanted to come back, that the door was open.
Nice.
So, it's nice to know, hopefully it will never ever come to that because, I want to continue to move forward. But, it's nice to know that, if something were to go wrong and if I did need to go back to CLA, that I would have that opportunity. But yeah, it's like they apparently have this meeting with some of the bigwigs, and they said there was a lot of respect thrown around. So that's nice to know.
Oh yeah, they love you there. Yep.
Well, I think most people do, not everybody.
Hmm. I'll kill those people.
I don't give a shit about those people. But other than that, you know, I'm really excited. I'm really excited, and it's you know, it's excitement and anxiety, and you know, hopefully things will go well. So, lots to prepare for.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about some games.
Yeah. Well,
Jeff, why don't you go first?
Oh man, I got lots, dude.
Good.
Well, I did a little bit more Sly on the Vitas.
Okay.
Did more of that. I kind of went on a little bit of a PlayStation 3 kick because of the whole PlayStation 4 announcement. So I played a little bit of, like, a lot of stuff, like older stuff, like Mirror's Edge, a little bit of Resistance 1, just to be like, bring back that, hey, what it was like to play a PlayStation 3 the first time. That was kind of cool. Played some Infamous.
Did you drop a PS2 game into your 60 gig and say, oh, so this is what backwards compatibility is all about?
I did not, but then I remember, wait a second, I didn't really care in the first place, so I don't give a shit now either. what else did I play? Oh, I played some more Metal Gear Rising. The more I play that game, the more I really like it. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoy it. Like, I mean, I still have a lot of complaints about it doesn't teach you stuff, but because I played through it one time already, you learn everything, and then going through your second time, it's just that much better. And it's a lot of fun. The combat system of that game is really good. I mean, besides the camera, that camera's like the only main complaint I have over the actual game itself. Like, playability wise.
Yeah, it's pretty
wise.
Bad.
Yeah, it's pretty awful. What else? Oh, I beat, I can't say completed because I haven't done everything, but I played through the main part of Forza Horizon, which is the first racing game ever I've gotten to the end of. Ever.
Wow, okay.
And I'm still going to go back, and I'm going to try to wrap up all the races I wasn't able to get to. So I will say the last race in that game is a bitch, because you race around the entire outskirt of Horizon where you're racing, and it takes a good, I don't know, let's say there's anywhere between 10 and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And the first time I played it, I came second, and it's only you and one other person. You have to beat that dude, and then it's like, fuck. I threw the whole thing over again, and that was like 15 minutes of my time. But, yeah, that's fun. Popped in some Gears 3, randomly last Friday. Did we record last Friday?
When did we record?
I can't remember if it was last Thursday or Friday. I think it was Thursday, actually. But yeah, Friday. Played some,
we did both days.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we ended up recording both days.
Yeah, so after recording, I did some Gears for a bit. That was fun. And then did some Trials Evolution, actually. Me and Dane, Crackerjack, jumped on some Trials. That game's hard. That game's fun multiplayer, though. I didn't, like, play too much multiplayer before that. He whooped my ass. I was like, Dane, this is what it feels like, I guess, when we play you in Street Fighter.
When we play Street Fighter.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, he's really whooping my ass.
Yeah, he's pretty damn good at that.
Yeah. But it was fun. A lot of fun. Cool. Halo 4 maps came out, new maps came out on Tuesday, I think it was. And, so popped in there, me and a couple people did the new maps for a little bit. What else here? Oh, DMC Bloody Palace dropped. I'm not sure if we talked about that last week.
No.
We mentioned it, but nobody had played it yet.
Yeah, I played that. That's fun. I like that. It's good. It's a slow burn. Like, it starts off slow. And then gets really freaking hard later on.
What is it, like 80 or 100 levels or something? Or?
Something like that. I think I can get to level 20. I always die at, I've only tried twice, but I die at the first boss you fight, which I think was the 20th level. So, okay. But it's a lot of fun. It's like very, it ramps up the difficulty like wave after wave, but it doesn't get too much harder. Then it starts throwing really badass shit. And, like, I did really well up to that point. And then my level still ended up being like a D. I'm like, holy shit. Cause I guess of how low the level was in comparison to what's out there or how many there are out there. So, and I'll say fuck you, Vossi, cause he is, I think I scored like a million something points and he's ahead by like 3 million. So I don't know how he fucking did that. He obviously got past level 20 and, but yeah, but he's the only other person on my list who's played it. So
he's really into that game, man.
Oh, yeah.
Listening to him play, talk about it on the goo, mm-hmm. He's big time into it.
Well, yeah, so. It's weird because, like, I know he played through normal, then I played through on Nephilim, and he's not on any of my scores for Nephilim, but then I guess he went back and started playing, Son of Sparta, and he's beaten all my scores in that. So I don't know if he just played a lot in normal and then jumped right to that, but yeah, it was pretty crazy to see. But yeah, there's not a lot of more people need to play that game. There's like hardly anyone on my friends list playing that game.
I play the shit out of it, but it's on PC though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna whenever I see that PC version go on sale, I'll probably jump on it.
Do it.
So I do know that I'm gonna get DMC before I get Metal Gear Rising. That's for sure.
I would almost recommend doing the opposite, just so you won't have that initial when you're playing Metal Gear, like, oh, it's not Devil May Cry. But
yeah, the disappointment,
it's
the wave of disappointment.
Metal Gear Rising
is
like, yeah, like the thing is, like, I was disappointed at first, but then it grew on me heavily, and now I'm like, I really like it. Like, at first I was like, there's no way that I'm going to be talking about this game for Game of the Year stuff this year, but I really like Metal Gear Rising, especially after playing it like second time. Like, it's actually a really, really good game. Craziness, but it's, yeah. You need to play both either way, for sure.
Well, I'll hopefully get to that eventually,
yeah,
but
I say
it's going to be,
get whatever
it'll probably be
first.
Whichever one is cheap first. Yeah. Because the next game I'm going to buy is not going to be either of them, probably.
Yeah.
It's probably, I mean, considering how much good press it's been getting, I'm probably going to end up getting Tomb Raider first.
Yeah. Makes sense. I beat Crysis 3. I'm on a freaking record this year, I'd like to point out. 2013 is the year of Jeff, finishing games.
Yeah, no shit. I haven't even beaten a game yet.
Yeah,
you've beaten like three.
Yeah, I've beaten like three in the past like 2 weeks. It's nuts. So it's like, yeah, I beat Crysis 3. Final Verdict, not as good as 2. Outside of visuals, they didn't really improve that much. Yeah, the bow is a lot of fun to use, but it's kind of overpowered. It just feels like there's not that much you can really do in it. Like, the second one just felt, and the first one feels like there's so many different ways you can take on a situation, whereas this one just doesn't seem that way, even though the levels are bigger, which I don't know how they screwed that up. But and it's got the same freaking issue 2 had, whereas if one enemy sees you, they all see you. Actually, the entire series has that problem. So they didn't fix that, and that was disappointing.
That sucks.
It kind of takes away any motivation to do stealth, because the second you kill someone, even if stealth, like you're fucking invisible, you kill someone, it's like they see the person dying, like, who was that over there? And then, yeah, it's like, whatever. It was okay. I don't think I would have paid $60 for it all over again if I had a chance, but still enjoyable, just not as highly, I don't know, liked by myself. That's great English right there. But
I liked it. I thought it was fantastic. It sounded more like Canadian to me. So.
Oh, there you go. That's what I'll say. It's Canadian. That's how we talk here.
Did you play it on 360 or PS3 or
I played
PC?
It on 360. Sorry,
360. Okay,
I had to think about that for a second.
I haven't seen run in there. I've seen it run on PC, man. Whoo!
Oh, it's gorgeous on PC. Yeah, it's I the only reason I didn't get on PC is the same reason I wish I got Far Cry 3 on a console, just because that stupid annoyance. Where I'm like, I could probably get this running better. I can probably get this running better. Oh, I don't think it's running as good. I think I have to go put some settings down. I know on console, I can't change nothing. So what I get is what I get, and I'm playing through it. It still looks good. I still think it's the best first-person shooter on a console. Like, it's freaking gorgeous, but it's not PC good looking. Like, the frame rate's 30 at the most, and at times it definitely dips, like early 20s.
No.
And it's got some aliasing issues here and there. But other than that, it's still good looking. Like, when you look at it, you're like, damn, that's a good looking game. Just when crazy stuff's happening, the frame rate can take a bit of a dip. But
gotcha. That sucks.
Not game breaking. The only times I really noticed it was in the vehicle levels, which were terrible anyway. So, I want to talk. Okay. Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
You guys like that game.
Love it.
I didn't know there was a demo for the 3DS version till literally about an hour ago. So I downloaded it. What the fuck do you do in that game?
And you hate it.
No, I can't say I hate it. I just didn't know what to... Like, to be fair, I played it for about 2 minutes because I was like, oh shit, it's almost 9:30. But I started playing it and I didn't know what to do. It's like, puts you on this... I mean, that's
you will not
area.
Like that game, Jeff. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh, what?
You will not like that
game. Don't think so?
That grindy? Game is the definition of grind.
Oh, then probably not. Yeah.
Because you are fighting the same bosses over and over and over to get skins so you can make more equipment, and then go to the next boss and fight over and over and get skins and make equipment. And it's you know, it's cool if you're into that, but I just don't think you're into that.
You can do gardening in between, man.
Oh, awesome.
That saves it.
I hated that.
And mining. You can do mining.
Fuck yeah.
In the middle of a big battle. Hold on, let me plant this turnip.
No, you've got a home base where you can plant your shit.
I like the concept of it.
Well, you know,
really
you don't plant shit. You use the shit to fertilize.
Yeah, that's true. You give your seeds and stuff to a cat, and he takes care of the planting and stuff. And then you just come back
later
and
the shitting.
Gather it. So
Gotcha.
Whatever.
I'll give it another try. No, honestly, I just didn't run it. I don't. Did you guys play the demo? I'm guessing you did, Jason. What the hell did you do with
it? I didn't. Oh. I didn't.
I don't know what to do.
I mean, if you were confused during those two missions, I don't know that there's much hope for you. They're pretty straightforward. They give you one specific monster in each of those missions, I think, that you've got to go kill. There's like an easy and like an advanced one.
Yeah. Run through it again. And well, just I didn't go through it again.
I only played for 5 minutes and I literally turned it off because we had to record. Yeah. But like I went up
run through the missions, but just realize when you're playing it that this game is designed to be difficult. I mean, it's like you don't get to lock on to anything. It's like you have to, you know, the head is the weak spot. You have to aim for the head and hit the head. And well, you don't lock. Well, I'm not saying like, that's just an example. If the head is the weak point.
Okay, where I got confused is like you start off this kind of like a little towny looking thing, and I was just trying to interact with shit, and I couldn't. Like, am I not supposed to do that? Am I just supposed to walk straight and just find this monster? I guess and fight it.
Correct. No, there should be.
No, I think in the demo you start out in camp.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it probably drops you right into your camp.
Oh, okay.
Did you do the easy or the advanced one?
I picked the easy one first, and I'm with these two little things following me around.
Yeah, those are your little familiar, you know, co-op dudes, essentially.
Okay.
And I think are that first cats? Mission you're looking for like a plethiosaur or something like that.
Yeah, it's
which is an underwater monster. He does come up on land, but yeah, so you've got to go to a point on the map where there's a lot of water.
Okay, so that's basically, I was just trying to interact with him. I'm like, I don't know if this is like an RPG, like am I supposed to talk to people? I didn't, because I've never played one before, so I had no idea. And again, it was only 5 minutes, but.
Or maybe it was maybe you fight one of the new monsters, the lag something. It looks like a big ass bunny.
I can't imagine that they would throw him into a water fight.
I haven't seen the first one. Monster at all, so.
I forget.
I don't know. Another demo I played, I guess, Chris, you haven't had a chance to play the Castlevania Mirror of Fate.
I have not gotten a chance to play it yet. I'm hearing lots of negative.
Yeah, it's...
But I will try it and judge myself. And,
again...
Considering that it's another Mercury Steam game, and it's one of those things where it's not really a Castlevania game in my eyes at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's more of a Castlevania game than... Lords of Shadow.
No, it's not. it's really like the demo is a small little chunk. And I didn't even get through the entire thing because I just got frustrated with the controls and the responsiveness to it and lack thereof. And I was like, I can't get through that. It doesn't feel like a Castlevania game. And it doesn't feel like Lords of Shadow. It just feels clunky. And I was disappointed because it is a 2D, 3D on a 2D plane. And the first time I saw something lit up with like a flame, I tried to hit it with my whip and nothing happened. I was like,
Oh wow.
This ain't Castlevania. But, I don't know, Jason, if you had a chance to play the demo, but it was, I don't know.
I haven't actually had hands on yet. So no, I've just seen a bunch of videos and stuff.
I can't play it in 3D. It is blurry in 3D and it's got a lot of that double vision type thing a lot, which I can't, I mean, that could be the 3DS's problem. So I just turned the 3D right off. But at the very beginning, you fight this one, skeleton thing with a shield, and it tells you like hit R to grab, and it doesn't even make an animation to grab. Sometimes it would, sometimes it wouldn't. I didn't know what it was basing that on. If it was some kind of like meter, I'm like, no, there's no meters. I don't know why I can't grab this guy or any guy. It'll just randomly try to grab, and I don't know when to hit this dude. I don't know. And it was just felt like there was input lag, especially when you regards to jumping. So it was a demo thing, but I'm not even cautiously optimistic about that game anymore. I think it's not going to be that good. But
I will definitely try it and give my
opinion.
Yeah,
I want to hear what your opinion is on it and see what you think, because I wasn't impressed at all.
Gotcha. It's weird because it's one of those things where it's just like the only other impression I saw from someone I knew was like it's not a Castlevania game, but I had fun playing it, and but he said a lot of the same stuff. It's like the game doesn't look very good. You know, he said it's like a low end PSP game at best.
It looks better.
The music was forgettable but I don't know. I'll judge for myself.
My main plays with the controls.
Castlevania fanboy, but I'll go into it as objectively as I can and see how I feel about it.
Cool. Yeah, I'll give another shot tonight when I have a chance. I'll try to play through the entire thing. I guess on the topic of disappointing demos,
Did
you guys play the God of War Ascension demo?
Here's my story. With in preparation to talk about this, We decided to start recording at 9:30 yes. instead of 9 o'clock, and I was going to come home and download the demo, and it was going to be ready for me to play at 9 o'clock, because that's when my wife and kids are all in bed, and I could play it for half an hour or so and then come on here and talk about it. So I log on at, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock, something like that. That's when I got home, got settled, and the PSN store is down. I'm like, really? So I tried to log into the PSN store, and it would come back with an error message and says, press circle for back, and it didn't do anything. Yeah. I had to actually turn my system off. I'm like, fantastic, Sony. Way to go. You better get this shit
is
right.
Is it actually
PS4.
Down, or was
that,
like
that store is a hot mess, dude. Yeah.
It is. That store is fucking horrible. It is absolutely horrible. I mean, I prefer the layout, but the back end of it, and just like, it's slow. It disconnects. I always have connection errors. It's like, I can't spend more than 5 minutes in the store or I lose my connection to it and I have to restart the damn thing.
Whoa.
And it is just a horrible, horrible mess. And I finally got a chance to start the download around 7:30, and the download took 2 hours. It ended.
It's 2.7 gigs or something?
3.7.
3.7, sorry. I'll get to the reason why it's so big in a second.
But, 3.7 gigs, and it took 2 hours for me to download it. And, at that point, we were ready to record. So it's like, I guess I'm not playing it this week.
On the online store, like on the web, can you queue it to start downloading?
I think you can, but it downloads the next time you turn your system on. So it's like you can't actually get it to boot up your system and start the download.
Okay.
Which
so
I would prefer. I would like that. I would like to see
but
that.
But do you have to go to, I was thinking maybe if you went on the web version, queued it up to download, then just turned on your PS3, it would automatically go, or if you would have to actually log into the PS store to click on download or something.
I'm not sure, but if the store is down, I'm not sure if you could download it anyway.
But yeah, so I figure it might be maybe a fix, but yeah, if it's down, then no. Not at all.
Yeah.
But.
Sucks.
Yeah, anyway, I'll get to the demo itself first. I'll be honest, I'm a huge God of War fan. Always have been. And I was one of the biggest defenders of God of War, especially the combat and the game. I know, though, looking at it, what the big turn on for me with the game was is the whole package. It's the story, it's a spectacle, and I thought the combat was fun. And then I played this, and if you like God of War 3, you'll like this. And I like God of War 3. But here's the problem. I just came off of playing Metal Gear Rising and DMC. And the combat in those games
is far
need
better.
Your attention. Like, you need to pay attention. You need to dodge. You need to block. You need to counter. Yeah, and it becomes a lot of fun. It becomes more of like, what I'm doing right now is I'm reacting to what the enemies are doing. And then I'm laying in a bunch of damage, and it's a visual input or output I'm getting from the screen, just like a kick-ass feeling. The entire time during this demo, I literally felt, and I will eat some crow here, because I remember Jason said this a long time ago, and we're like, no, it's not, it's deeper than that. But the entire time, I just felt like I was hitting X over and over and over again. And and every once in a while, I'll hit triangle. And I was like, okay, I'll try to mix it up just for fun. Like, I'm still doing, like, there's a part in this demo, and I'll give the demo credit. Like, it's epic. Like, there's some crazy shit that happens in it, and some really good set pieces, but there's a part where this kind of boss character pulls apart a part of the level that you're inside, and the screen pops back really far. So you can see, like, a bunch of the background, a bunch of the environment, but you can't see Kratos for shit, and you're being swarmed by enemies. I'm like, that just shows you how even the developers don't put a lot of emphasis on combat and technicality, because they know all you have to do at this point really is fucking hit X and triangle as many times as you want, and you're going to clear this part. Yeah, sure, it looks cool, but I think that whole looking cool thing of this series is wearing off on me. I'm like, engage me with something. Like,
And that's really the thing. I mean, I love God of War 2, but I'm the same way. It's like the combat is not technical, you know, and I've actually argued this on a forum, because there's this guy that I know that says that he thinks that God of War is like the best game of this generation.
Why do you keep going to that forum?
Yeah, I know, he's fun to troll all the time. I've even seen some of this guy's posts, Chris, and I'm like, oh my God, if I was on that, I almost joined that forum, like if I joined this forum, oh my God.
Dude, you should do it. You should totally do it. Just to troll him. It's fun. No, but, the real thing is like, you can easily get through pretty much the entire an entire God of War game, and I would actually like to test this. So I may try and do this with with Ascension, or maybe I'll go back to one of the other ones so I'm not ruining Ascension for myself. Yeah. But if you just do square, square, triangle, you can pretty much win the game.
Square, not X, yeah. Yeah, you can. Yeah. You can definitely do it.
Square, like, square, triangle is a fast combo that ends with a really powerful move. And you can pretty much, and the move will knock guys back. So even if there's guys around you, and it's, you know, there's a lot of enemies that'll knock you out of longer combos. This one's short, ends with a powerful move, so they can't get to that point. And it's like roll, square, square, triangle. Roll, square, square, triangle.
Yeah.
And
well, the rolling, that's where that's where the combat depth comes from in God of War. It's the dodging at the right time, but you're only dodging to dodge an attack. That's a animation that can't be interrupted.
Yeah.
On their part. And that's another thing. Like, you fight some pretty big dudes in DMC and Metal Gear Rising. And you fight some big dudes in God of War. Like the big Cyclops type dudes. The difference is when you're fighting the guys in Metal Gear and Devil May Cry, you feel like even when you're hitting them that you're doing damage. Like, you can knock them down, keep a combo going, doing whatever. The bigger guys in God of War, Ascension, I'll just say all God of War. This is why I think it sounds so wrong, because I feel like I'm really shitting on the series, which I'm really not. It's kind of run its course, kind of. But they're basically damage sponges. Like, they don't react to anything, and you basically just keep hitting. Oh, here comes the big attack, and dodge. Hit. They're still going to do their regular walking animation, doing whatever, hit. You never get that feeling of, I'm really
the bigger enemies are
ass.
That way.
Yeah.
But
that's what I'm saying. The other.
It's not like that through the whole game, though.
The bigger enemies are. The smaller enemies, no. But that's something, there's no gratification in fighting these bigger enemies until, of course, it does the quick time event where you're slitting their stomach open and their guts are filling
out. Or pulling their eye out or something
like
that.
Yeah, there's no gratification of, oh, wow, I just totally, like, combo that motherfucker to death, or that, like, you don't have to change up your play style playing them. Like, the ones over and over again, whereas, I don't know, I kind of opened my eyes, I guess. Like, I still have the game pre-ordered, I'm still gonna play the game, but it's the first God of War demo I played through, and literally about halfway through, this is literally what I thought, because it was about 12:30 at night, I was like, fuck, I hope this is over soon, because I gotta go to bed. I'm like,
well,
what the fuck's wrong
with
me?
I'll be honest with you, when it came to this game, I feel like, for me, it's like, I love God of War. I love the series. I've played all five of the games that are out. You know, I bought, you know, I own 1 and 2 for PS2. I own the HD collection. I own 3. I own both PSP games. And I think the big thing is that when I heard about this game and they said that it was going to be kind of like, it's supposed to be before he,
okay, it's a prequel. You know, before he kills his wife and his
so
kid.
It's before all that happens, and before, you know, the gods give him the power of that weapon.
The Blades of Chaos. Yes.
Yet he has them.
Well, no, they're not the Blades of Chaos,
at that
Chris.
Point, it doesn't matter.
I know.
It doesn't matter that they're not the Blades of Chaos. What matters is that they had an opportunity to do something different, and they didn't. And when that happened, they pretty much lost me.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going into this demo already tainted, because it's like, I love God of War. I love what they do with the game, but they need, it needs a change.
It hasn't
it needs
changed
to get stirred up
too.
And it hasn't changed. And I was fine with that. I'm fine with if it's not broke, don't fix it, you know, for a few games, but
two,
you know,
maybe. Yeah.
But now we're going on 6.
Well, I wouldn't, you know? I would say there's a jump between 1 and 2. 2 brought in a bunch of new mechanics. 2 to 3. 3 was more or less like 2.
3 was
more
of an epicness jump.
It was more epic, but you still did all the same stuff. And Ascension just seems the same thing. And like, people say, well, all games are like that. All series are like, and like, no, like, you can criticize something like Uncharted, Mass Effect, or Halo for being like the same game over and over again, but I can probably name off at least 3 or 4 game mechanics in each one of those series that is new to each sequel that's been in those. And I honestly, after God of War 2, I can't think of a single one that is new from God of War 2 to at least the Ascension demo. I'm hoping that the full game has a new gameplay. And like you said,
I'm sure they'll do it with weapons and stuff. They'll throw in different weapons for you.
That's not
going
to do it. It's like, if
yeah, I know. It's like they, but they think that's what it takes.
But
I mean, I would
love,
they have a combat mechanic for a dude with a sword. Fucking give me a dude with the sword and the shield. Let me play as Kratos the Spartan. If they would have done that, I would have been all over this fucking game, and
I was
hoping
for that too, dude. And they played it ultra safe, like.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
He gets
take,
the blaze
take a damn
Olympus.
Risk. You know it's gonna sell. It's got God of War in the fucking name.
And I'm gonna buy it. I'm just saying, like, it's just like, I'm gonna buy it because I'm honestly the story, and I like the spectacle. I like, it is a good looking game, but there's only two parts in the demo. I was like, oh wow, that's really cool. And like, because it's hard to top what they did in 3. Like, 3 was just over the top craziness, crazy set pieces.
Yeah, I agree.
And I was like, when I saw like how he actually got the quote unquote chains of Olympus, because not the chains of Olympus, they're the chains he was like being held with in captivity that he just breaks off the wall that just happened to be shaped like the Blades of Olympus. And oh yeah, exactly. And it's, oh god, this is what really, this might not bug a lot of people, but it bugged me for two reasons. The game was 3.7, or the demo was 3.7 gigs to download. The demo is the demo. The commercial, the live action commercial for the game, which is really cool, by the way. I think that's a really cool commercial. It reminds me a lot of the Mad World commercial for the first Gears game, like way back in the day. I don't know if you, have you guys seen it?
I don't think so.
It's actually really cool. It has Kratos, and then he's kissing his daughter, then all of a sudden they start crumbling away to ashes.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, that is pretty cool.
It's actually pretty awesome. And, it's got that. It's got the game, like, launch trailer, I guess, whatever you want to call it. And then, it's got about 5 videos advertising the show Vikings on History Channel.
What?
And not only that, the very beginning, when you first start up the demo, it's got the lead designer for Ascension going, hey, welcome to the demo, whatever, blah, we're going to show you this video. Oh, by the way, also check out Vikings on History, which is about blah, blah. So he even talks about it for a bit.
Wow.
And it goes to the main screen, and you have to watch a quick clip of the Vikings thing. And it's all video. It's all like making of stuff. And there's a little bit of a making of Ascension video on there too. But there's, I'd say at least 1.5 of those gigs is dedicated to this Vikings TV show, which, why is that in my demo? That's already, should be an advertisement for the game that you may or may not buy. And secondly, I live in Canada. We got bandwidth caps, yo. Like, that's like 1.5 gigs I didn't want. It's like.
Yeah, that's really shitty.
I was like, I can't believe it. Like, there's History Channel stuff all over it, and there's like a bunch of videos for it. And
so now we're gonna have ads in our demos. Is that how this
exactly.
is gonna work?
Exactly. And this is what made me laugh the whole Change Lives thing, because in the actual making of for the Ascension thing, like, yeah, we had to like reinvent like the whole gameplay of God of War, and he's younger now, and by the way, he still looks white covered in ashes, so I don't even know when that part, like, he still looks the exact same fucking Kratos, even though, anyway. So yeah. He's like, yeah, so, you know, he's younger now, so his attacks are gonna look different, he's gonna look more raw, and I'm sitting there playing, I'm like, nope, this is pretty much what it looked like in God of War 3 and 2 and 1. I don't see it. They played it really safe, but.
Yeah.
Sounds negative, but the only reason I'm being negative is because I'm a huge fan of the series, and I was just like, this could be the ODST of God of War for me, where I was just like,
This could be on our Lair award list later on this.
It could
later
be
next,
out,
next year.
I mean, it's not a step backwards in gameplay.
No,
like
it's
not
no, God,
awful.
It's,
but.
It, yeah, it's not bad. It's not that. It's just that I think more than anything, Jeff and I saw this as a great opportunity for them to do something different, and they didn't.
Yeah.
And that's what's really disappointing.
I don't care about the multiplayer either at all.
Yeah, what's that?
I don't care about the multiplayer either.
Oh yeah, that's going to be throwaway, I'm sure.
I want you guys to play it too, because I noticed, like, I brought it up on, in a Facebook thing, but the audio seemed off too, and I'm hoping that's a demo thing. Like, the audio would kind of cut out, and some of the audio would go really, really low. Like, it was almost like kind of like muting, and the music seemed really low. It just seemed like, you know, when you play a God of War demo, it's really loud and hard hitting, and like, it makes sure you hear every single sound effect. This just felt quiet, and I thought, okay, maybe it was just my settings, but then I saw Tamarind Laz. Tweeted yesterday, he's like, hey, I just played the God of War demo, it's definitely God of War, but did anyone else notice there's like a ton of like audio issues? And I was like, yeah, dude, I noticed the same thing. Huh. And I looked it up on Google, and there's like a lot of people talking about that, so I'm hoping that's just a demo thing.
It's gotta be.
It seems very quiet for a God of War game. It's really weird. But I'm hoping it's, you know, it ends up being better than the demo. But if you like God of War and you're fucking happy and you want more of that shit, like how it was, then I'm sure you'll like it.
Yeah.
But get those damn advertisements out of my demos. That's just dumb. So, but I am gonna watch Vikings though. It does look kind of cool.
It worked.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. It worked. But that's not the point. 3.7 gigs.
Sucker.
God damn it. Yeah, I know. I know. Anyway, that's it. That's all I've been playing.
Not bad, dude.
All right, Jason, hey, what you got, buddy?
I've been playing a lot of Tomb Raider, actually. I think I know. Can talk about it now.
Jealous.
Is it okay?
Hey, you can talk about that now.
Yeah,
Kenny?
Marga's done. Dude, I beat that game.
Oh, yeah, you did.
How cool am I?
How long is it?
It's considerably longer than your standard Uncharted game. So what is Uncharted? Like six to 8 hours or something like that? Maybe 10?
That's about the same.
Uncharted is around 10, usually.
Yeah, Uncharted is about 10, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ones
first time through, they take around 10.
Okay. All right. Well, I got a good 12, 14 hours, I think, out of that. And that's just a, you know, straight playthrough. That's not even hitting any of the side, tombs or
the tomb stuff.
Going back and exploring shit. Cause there's a lot of, you know, gating, like gear gates in that game. Do you know what I mean by that? Like you can't get to a certain section without having this.
Oh, like Metroid, basically.
Yeah.
A
little bit like that. Yep. But it's not really backtracking because they set up like a fast travel system.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's that camp thing, right? So yeah, you can go back to any area pretty much whenever you want. So that's kind of cool. And I wish I could have had the opportunity to go through, you know, the rest of that stuff. Cause I actually had an urge to, you know, it's so easy to compare this to an Uncharted game, you know, but I do like this, quite a bit more than your regular Uncharted game. And it's no small secret, I'm not the biggest fan of Uncharted. you know, but there's, you know, certain things about Uncharted that is done better than a Tomb Raider. And in particular, you know, like the narrative, the writing, just the grand spectacle of it all. I think, you know, Uncharted's nailed that. Tomb Raider's not up to it in that respect, but in a lot, well, pretty much everything else. I think it does a much better job, especially in terms of the combat. Enemies are not bullet sponges. That's a big deal.
That is good. Yeah, I saw you do a couple of headshots with an arrow, and it was like, boom, they dropped like a rock.
Yeah, even if you have, you know, one, like a pistol or something, or a rifle, and you have like a semi-automatic upgrade, you know, if you, you know, pull the alt fire, it's like a, you know, three-round burst, and they'll actually move three times.
Okay, that's cool.
With each bullet. Yeah, it's
they don't keep running at you.
Yep, it's very satisfying, actually. So, and the upgrade system in and of itself really kept the combat from getting stale.
Okay.
Because you're constantly getting new upgrades to your weapons. You're getting like alt fire stuff. And you're getting, you know, just new weapons in general. Like you start off with a pistol and a bow and stuff, and then, you know, eventually go into, you know, shotgun and rifle, and it's
It looks more like you can approach areas openly. Like you can be stealthy if you want to, or you can go in there guns blazing, whereas like other games similar to it, you can tell this is a stealth section. This is where you should be going in with guns, because you're gonna go in this area. Oh crap, it's kind of an empty area but with cover places. I know I'm gonna get flooded with dudes jumping off the cliff and coming down these ropes.
Yeah, I hate that shooting gallery thing. And that happens a lot in Uncharted. And it does happen in Tomb Raider, but you're absolutely right. You know, when you're just, I think, traversing the levels, it does give you a couple of different options, you know? And if you guys watch the video, there's a point where I actually take like an alternate route and take some like the high road, you know, and it goes over the enemies, you know, so I could sneak past them if I wanted to, could go in guns blazing. But there definitely are the choke points, you know, where you get into like a big roomed area, you can see a bunch of, you know, cover spots and you're like, okay,
here we go.
It's going to go down. But, you know, those are kind of scripted events to a certain degree. But, another comparison with Uncharted, I hate doing this.
It's natural. I mean, look how many times we compared Uncharted to Tomb Raider when Uncharted 1 came out, right? That's kind of like...
I've never been a fan of the puzzles in Uncharted, especially in 2, when, like, you know, the solution was, like, written in that book.
Well, they tell you.
Yeah, I thought that was really dumb. But they keep, you know, puzzle solving in Tomb Raider 2 to a minimum, but it definitely is there if you want to seek it out.
It's in the tomb type stuff, right? That's like where the bulk of it is?
Yeah, that's where the bulk of it is. And those are completely optional, which is kind of strange. But considering, you know, Tomb Raider's in the title. They're definitely not hard by any means. And there's a couple where I actually kind of scratch my head and I'm like, how do I do that? So figuring those out is pretty satisfying. I did like that. But overall, dude,
any dinosaurs?
No dinosaurs. There is some kind of supernatural.
I'm trying to think. That's the
there's
demons?
Some kind of supernatural stuff. I don't want to spoil too much. It's certainly interesting. But yeah, the writing is not up to Uncharted. I mean, if Uncharted is that, you know, super blockbuster
movie,
popcorn movie,
yeah,
with lots of explosions and stuff. You know what I'm talking about? That Michael Bay, yeah,
Michael Bay stuff, yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of more like a sci-fi original movie.
Okay, gotcha.
That does not paint a pretty picture, Jason.
I'll be honest. Yeah, you know the plot is really linear. You know the writing is really just not that good. You don't really care for a lot of the characters. It's so stereotypical and just cheesy, I guess. But
I've heard Lara is the one that really stands out. That she, whoever the actress is who did her, was really good.
Yeah, not bad. I can't think of any real standout moments of hers, though. But other than all the,
I see the same screaming ones in every video review in every video because of the whole embargo thing. They had a limit on what kind of video they can show. But the whole like, oh, I hate tombs, and that line over and over again.
Yeah, the one-liners are not nearly as good in Uncharted. There's a few of them though. But you know, she actually does have a character progression. You know, she is a, you know, college student, you know, I don't know what she does exactly, but she's on this expedition and stuff, and she's a young girl, kind of naive, but, you know, she's got smarts about her, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, she's thrust into this situation where, you know, she's, you know, a survivalist all of a sudden. She's, you know, her life is in danger, and, you know, she might have to kill
crime,
people.
She killed a deer, and then she just got to go out and kill 15 other dudes and like
but,
2 minutes.
I mean,
after
she
that.
Does, you know, you know, touch on that. You know, it's not easy for her. Whereas,
was
like
that,
in
was
Uncharted,
that a Far Cry troll? I think that was a Far Cry troll.
No, it wasn't. It was.
Oh, okay.
It happens in Far Cry as well. But I mean, it's a video game. If they were to like bring that entire character arc, it would be the most boring video game ever created. So you kind of have to jump into it.
But true. Yeah, she you know, says that she is remorseful, and that she's not taking to it too easily. But by the end of it, enough shit happens to her, and they fuck with her enough that. Yeah, there's one line where she's like, I'm coming for all of you. She is like bloodthirsty. All of a sudden, she's so mad. So
now when you say sci-fi original movie, are we talking like...
Not Sharktopus?
Not so maybe Dino Croc versus Super Gator or something like that?
No, it's better than that. It's better than
that. It's better than that?
Okay. Yeah, but,
So maybe like Lake Placid or something like that.
Sure.
Okay.
But yeah, that's probably pretty accurate. Don't go into this for the
story. I did
story.
Pull up a list of original sci-fi films just to pull some of that shit out. Because they have some crazy-ass shit.
That they do.
Dino Croc. Really?
Fuck yeah. But yeah, overall, dude, I really liked it. And I wasn't expecting too much. I was expecting another Uncharted game.
Did you see, who was it that did like their... their review from the non-gamer, god damn it. Jimmy Kimmel? Is that Kimmel? Is that who it is?
Jimmy Kimmel? Or, I think Conan had a kind
Conan
of a sketch.
That's who it was. Conan O'Brien did it.
Yep.
And, but he got stabbed in the throat like 4 times.
Yeah.
That's I was like, oh my god, I do not want to see that in this game ever. It's like, it was
shocking.
Horrifying.
It's shocking. Yeah. Yeah, there's a few different death sequences like that.
Oh my god, it was horrifying.
She gets messed up
a lot.
In that game.
I mean, you guys, I remember all three of us talking about like the death scenes in Limbo when we played it.
Oh, right.
And
Dead Space
I mean,
really bad.
And well, yeah, but I mean, this was like, oh, I mean, I was like, I just don't want to see that again. Please stop.
Well, then don't fuck up, Chris.
Okay, I'll do that.
we did that in our demo video too. There's a couple different sequences.
Yeah, I saw
that
and everyone was like, oh my god.
Yeah. It makes
like,
it even
on,
more
guys,
horrifying that she's like struggling after it happens. It's like, oh my god, just die, please.
A little bit of gurgling. Yeah, that's nasty. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, do you guys have any questions about it? Or I think
I just want to play it. So
yeah.
I'm
multiplayer.
Just
kinda... Yeah, you're saying.
Oh yeah, multiplayer is awful from what I understand. I actually haven't tried it out yet, but because the servers aren't live.
I heard it's like a poor man's Uncharted multiplayer.
Yeah, definitely tack on. Like it feels like a different game, I guess. So I've seen it being played. It didn't look that good. And from what I understand, you know, from the guy that did get to play it with some of the developers and stuff, he just was not super impressed.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
How open is it? Because I got the impression like it kind of opens up a little bit, or is it more like linear? But like you said, like to do the tomb raiding stuff? You just kind of go back to areas where, like, is it marked on your map or where you can quick travel, like where the tombs are you haven't been?
If you kind of explore a little bit, you know, you take kind of the off-beaten path. I mean, it is pretty damn linear, you know, don't get me wrong. But you'll see kind of secret areas off to the side that are marked. And they don't actually show up on your map, I think, until you get a specific perk later on.
Okay, but it will show you on the map, though. Like, hey, if you come back here, you can get in here now.
Yeah, it will show you that. And then, you know, if you're walking by, like, you know, say a cave type area, and there'll be some markings on there signifying that that's a tomb and it's optional. And I think once you level up a little bit, it'll tell you that a tomb is nearby, like you sense it or something like that. I forget exactly how that works, but... But yeah, it's easy to get to for the most part, but it's certainly optional. You know, if you want to go just straight A to B, you're more than welcome to. And I did that for most of the game, I got to say. But
yeah, just because my thing with the backtracking thing is like, I'll be like, oh, I want to go there, but then I get further and I get the thing, and I'm like, I can't remember where the hell that was. Where I was like, I want to go back there again.
Oh yeah, it'll mark so you can go back easily. But I can't think of many times where I went too far out of the way. Like when I found a tomb, it was something that I could get to if I wanted to. There wasn't a lot of backtracking as far as that was concerned. But in each section of the game, there's a bunch of collectibles. And some of those collectibles you probably won't be able to get unless you have the right gear. So you might have to backtrack for that stuff.
Nah.
Yeah, it's not super important, but...
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This game went from, like, kind of interested to I can't wait till Tuesday.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. I had a great time with it.
Very cool.
Awesome.
What else? Street Fighter Cross Tekken. So good. Hey, everybody go get it. And Jeff, you should get those new characters, man.
I know.
That came out last year sometime.
The reason why I'm not is because I'm afraid if I get the new characters, I'm going to be like, I have to learn a couple new ones. And I just don't know if I want to put the time into learning new characters, to be honest, but...
That's half the fun sometimes.
I know it is. But I've been finishing games this year, Jason.
You've made progress in your gaming backlog. Like,
look out, Tomb Raider, you're next.
Yeah.
I should, though. I should just fucking do it, because I know we're going to be playing it for a while.
I've been looking at videos and stuff. I've been getting back into it. Even hitting the training room a little bit here and there. Like, I'm trying to pick up Jin all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So I watched somebody play him last night.
Yeah, he's good.
With Guy, and I saw the kind of the dynamics between those two. And I really love Guy as a character, especially in Cross Tekken. So Jin might be a good partner for him. I want to try him out.
But, cool. I tried him and gave up really quickly. I'm like,
trying to think of some other stuff. I'm doing a review and a preview for the magazine that I can't really talk about, but Darksuckers Resurrection, doing the preview for Monster Hunter, and doing the review for.
Oh wow! Okay.
Which I'm scared of because we have a tight window for that, and that game's pretty long, and a lot of the new stuff is kind of end game, I guess.
For the Darkstalkers, what are you going to get that on?
What am I going to buy that on? Probably, yeah. I mean, I'll probably end up getting it on both, but.
Okay.
I mean, it's a download, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably PlayStation, because that's where most of us play.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not going to be any real difference, though. So.
Oh, yeah, I know there won't be any difference. It's just, I'm trying to think of who's going to actually buy it and who's going to play it. Like, I have, like, very, very little Darkstalkers experience on, like, any type of versus. I've only played, like, I've owned some of the games, but only played them single player.
Hmm.
So I'm
wondering this one's interesting, you know, because it's got the two games, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, at first glance, it's like, why would I go back to Darkstalkers 2 when I can just have 3? But they're actually pretty different as far as the mechanics. A lot of the chain combos and stuff, you know, that's all the same, but like the pace is definitely faster in 3. The life bar, which is kind of like a gradually decaying one. Like, you know, after you beat them the one round, they immediately get back up and they're on their second life bar. You know, like a Killer Instinct type thing.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like Mortal Kombat Killers, yeah.
Yeah, and it's more traditional in the second one. So, different cast of characters as well. But they did add a mechanic as well, which is something new, which is kind of cool because it's not just a remake. They've got some like, and I haven't played with it too much. It's I think you do like a focus attack type thing, you know, two buttons at the same time, and it activates like this dark mode where you're invincible for a short burst, and you go into like this nether world or something like that, and your attacks are sped up. So new mechanic to play with, but
that's cool.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna get that. I just haven't decided which one yet. But I'll probably go, if everyone's gonna go PS3, I'll go PS3.
That's how it always ends up going, man.
I know. I'm just, what do you guys think about the news that and that's what Chris, but that the arcade sticks, the PS3 arcade sticks aren't going to work on PS4.
There's a distinct possibility that that's possible. That's going to suck.
Well, I'm just going, like Maximilian said that in one of his videos that they're not going to work on the PS4. So I'm not sure if Sony's confirmed that or how he got the information, but he's usually a pretty reliable guy. But that would
suck.
He has
no fucking idea. He doesn't have access to a dev kit or anything.
No. But
It's a possibility. For a while, there were certain Mad Cat sticks that wouldn't work with like older architecture PS3s. You know, but that was something that they could fix via
an update. Or something.
So,
an update would work. Yeah, I'm hoping though. I don't want to have my T sticks go to fucking waste. I can just keep my PS3, but
yeah. Man, I wish backwards compatibility was more standard, huh?
Yeah, you'll get it.
I'm sure that if it's not available right away, that it'll get fixed. Or we can all just move over to PC. I'm okay with that. Let's do it.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think that's about it for me. Downloaded the Plants vs. Zombies. That's free on Vita if you got PlayStation Plus.
That's right.
Oh, shit. Cool.
So now I own that across
more
like,
free
six
shit
different
for you.
Platforms. And I've never played Plants vs. Zombies for more than 5 minutes across all of those platforms. So
hard to argue with free. Might as well get that on everything you can.
Yeah.
There you go.
Free shit.
That's the way you do it.
Totally. How about you, Chris?
Been playing? I am on the last boss of Ni No Kuni soon.
Are you sure?
I am sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just positive. Checking. It's like, I've pretty much had no problems until I got to this guy, and, this guy's wiped me 3 times. So, apparently this is the part where it's like, I get all the way to the end of the game, and now people are telling me, time to grind for a little while. I'm like, I don't know. I got pretty close to beating him without it, so, I will say this, they have, I don't know how familiar Jeff is with Dragon Quest, but I know that Jason, you are. But they have a metal slime in Ni No Kuni. There's one particular enemy that, in an area that nets you usually around 700 to 800 experience per battle, they have one enemy that gives you 29,000 experience points. So if you can, if you do have to grind, if you get one of those guys, you end up going up 2 levels. So, and I'm in the 60s, and I went up 2 levels after I fought 2 of them, and I went up a total of 5 levels, I think, with Oliver.
They're kind of hard to find, though, aren't they? Like, they run away pretty quick.
They do run away pretty quick, but there's a spell called Shroud basically makes it so they can't see you coming. So you cast Shroud on yourself, you go up, you attack them, and then you set your tactics for everyone to attack the leader's enemy, and he doesn't have time to get away. Cause especially if you're using, like, I'm using, one particular familiar that has, really high damage, really high attack speed, but a really low defense. He just attacks so quickly and does so much damage that, the 2 times when I've actually, done my strategy, it's worked. I've seen 5 of them in about, probably maybe about a half an hour of playtime in the area where they are. I've seen 5 of them. 2 of them were the main enemy that was on the map, and they ran away and I couldn't get to them. And that was before I thought about using Shroud. And I had one that ran away from me in battle because I didn't realize what he was. It wasn't until the first time I defeated one that I was like, wow. It kind of just freaked me out for a second. That's a lot of XP, and that makes grinding super easy. Like, John told me that he beat the game at level 78. That means that if I were to actually do the same thing, I have about 10 levels to go. If I were to do that, because I think I'm like 66, 67, something like that. That basically means that I, you know, if I find like 5 or 6 of these things, I could be done. And, you know, that's considering I just said I saw 5 of them in a half an hour of play. That's not a whole lot of grinding. So, you know, that's, I gotta say, you know, from a JRPG perspective, they did a lot to streamline Ni No Kuni. And, if you are into JRPGs, I think you will probably enjoy some of the things that they streamlined to make it as easy as they made it.
I don't know. I saw an awful lot of grinding when Lisa was playing, and not for experience, more for the side quest stuff. But especially with shit where you've got to collect stuff and they've got a really shitty drop rate and
yeah, the capturing I can see. But for me, I don't know if I just got lucky. But there's one particular side quest that says, I want the evolved forms of these three. It's basically his name's Derwin or something like that. It's like, it's a playoff Darwin, but, he wants the fully evolved form of three particular familiars. When he gave me that quest, I happened to already have, 2 of the more primitive forms of those familiars. And the third one was in the area I was going to next. So I went to that area, captured the other one, put all 3 of them in slots with my party, and just normal progression through the game, I was able to level them up and turn them in. So it's like when it comes to the capturing, yes, the capturing is the grindy part for that, but I never had, it's like the only Derwin quest that I actually had to grind for was the very first one. And that's because they had just given you the spell the ability to capture them. After that, it was like I captured everything I had the opportunity to capture, and I pretty much would go to an area, see his quest, and I had at least 1 or 2 of the guys that I had to turn in. So I only had to go and get 1 or 2 of them, and it was relatively easy. So, I mean, I see your point, and if you don't get that right dice roll, you know, it could take you a while, but I didn't experience that. So, I mean, I pretty much played this game where I did every side quest as it became available. And I never felt like I was outside of the Derwin quests, cause there's a little bit there, but I never felt like I was grinding at all. Cause I always had an objective in front of me. So I appreciated that a lot.
Gotcha.
But,
well, cool.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it, but the whole really hard last boss thing. Yeah, that's very level 5, because Rogue Galaxy was that way. Rogue Galaxy's last boss was a bitch. Hmm. And I had the same thing. It's like I went...
Suck less.
Suck less. I went through pretty much all of Rogue Galaxy without a problem. And then at the end of the game, I did beat the last boss the first time I saw him, but, I mean, he was kicking my ass pretty hard. And, yeah.
I've got that game sitting out, dude. I want to play it again so bad. I never beat it. I've got it sitting out because I'm too lazy to hook up my PS2. Man, my PS3 had backwards compatibility. I would be playing that game.
Hey, you had a 60 gig at one point.
Yeah, I know. Yellow.
Such a good game, though. It's such a good game. I did just get my hands on a PS2 Slim.
I was going to say, Jason, you don't have a PS2 still or no?
Got rid I do. I just, I got to hook up different cords and stuff, and that's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I
gotta
reach behind
my TV. I gotta hook up the component cables to a different thing.
Our first world problems.
I know, right? But it's
my
enough to keep me from hooking it up.
PS2 looks like shit on an HDTV, so.
Yeah.
Looks really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I don't think it looks all that bad.
So. Yo. Hook her up. Hook up your Slim to an HDTV.
Well, I still have my PS2 Fat hooked up to my TV.
Your PS2?
Yeah.
Do it. And have you played a game recently?
I think the last game I played was the Japanese version of Knights.
I don't know. That was probably a while ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. It was a couple of years ago. That's the thing. It's like I haven't turned my PS2 on and even like backwards compatibility with my PS3. I haven't used it since like the first 6 months or so I had it. Yeah. But that's it for me. I mean, I played a tiny, tiny bit of, Professor Layton on the 3DS. But, yeah, next up for me will be, the demos that Jeff talked about today. So hopefully I'll talk about those next week. All right, cool. Let's move on to news. Can we just, Is there anything on this list that you sent me that's really important to talk about? So
really important.
I like THQ's remaining properties going on sale in April.
Yeah, so like the Darksiders and a lot of stuff, they're going to, and there's a couple other ones. Fuck, I can't remember right now.
Who do you think is going to pick up Darksiders?
I don't think it's going to be Platinum.
I don't think it's going to be Platinum either.
I kind of don't want Platinum too, because I don't think they'd actually do a good job with it, to be honest.
I don't think it would be the same game if Platinum.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I could see actually Ubisoft picking it up, to be honest. I don't know why.
Okay. I'm trying to think of who makes those types of action games, and I can't really think of anybody. Yeah, Nintendo.
They ain't gonna do it.
No, they wouldn't. They wouldn't pick up a no.
That's Dark Linksiders.
Dark Linksiders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. Watch Sony pick it up. That'd be fucked up.
I can't see either Sony or Microsoft picking it up at all. Not big enough property for those guys.
Yeah.
What else kind of happened? This might be kind of moot, but the whole Xbox is doing a kind of like a Steam sale thing. They're doing it this week. I'm not sure if they're doing it next week as well, but there's going to be 61 games on sale, anywhere from 75 to 85% off. There's some older stuff, but there actually is some newer stuff, like Borderlands 2, I think, goes on sale.
Actually, by the time this releases, is the last day of the sale.
That might be when Borderlands
2 is different. Is it a different set of games every day?
Yeah. It's a different set of games every day.
Because I looked at what they had on today, and I was like, I'm not interested in any of this.
Yeah, and you can have some of them are still on sale though. You can go look at the past days, and some of them are still on sale. So some of them are just like for the day only, and some of them are for the entire week and a couple days that they're doing this or whatever. So yeah, so I guess the day you're hearing this is the last day. But they have some newer games on there, like all the Call of Duty's fucking 4 till COD Blops 2. Around there, Borderlands 2. But then there's some, like, El Shaddai, for example.
Was $3.
Not the best game.
It's worth $3, man. Go buy it.
Not much
bucks.
More, but it's worth $3.
Yeah, Tomb Raider Legends, I think, was like $5. A lot of the games are $5. It's all the games on demand stuff, so not like Xbox Live stuff. So that's cool. I hope not only Microsoft does this, I hope Sony does this going into next generation, because if they do this, that's a good reason to go digital, because it finally gives people a reason to be like, okay, here we go. It's like Steam, because best thing about Steam, their fucking sales are awesome. Fucking
that's true. You buy shit
months
never
after
play
a new release, you get shit. Yeah, exactly. But hey, they get that.
Jason
get that
knows
money.
Exactly how that is. how many games are in your Steam library, Jason? 100 and what?
Oh no, god.
Yeah.
I think I might be reaching 300 shortly.
God damn it!
Are you serious? And how many have you played? Like 30?
Oh, dude. I mean, a large percentage of the games, I think.
A large percentage of 10%.
Yes. But when you pay $5 to $10 for all of those, it's worth it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You ever go to that site that like adds up how much your Steam library is worth? I'm like, there's no
way
I paid $50 for that game. I paid $10. It was a Steam sale. Oh, no, I'm at about 200 games, it looks like.
All right.
Not 3.
That's still a lot.
I think I'm at about 80 right now.
I'm at like 20, I think. 20
I know a lot of people that have over like 500. I'm like, what the hell are you guys buying?
For sure. There's like,
everything
dude,
that's
people,
99 cents. That's like,
we know people who are part of Retroids and VGV that never play games, and they'll be like, I just bought like 10 games off Steam. Like, you're never going to play any
of
those.
Dude, you
don't
even have a PC.
But just in case. Yeah, you don't even have a VGV. Exactly. Well, I'm thinking of one day, you know, I might one day pick up a PC and, you know, decide to download all this shit.
Just in the off chance that they put Steam on the PS4.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed 4 was announced today. Hey, there's pirates.
I hope you like boats.
Yep. We're going to be in a lot of pirate ships.
That's what they were doing. They were setting, this one sets you up for that one.
The good news is they're skipping Assassin's Creed 3, part 2.
3,
part
2, 3. And 3, 3?
So, yeah, there you go.
It goes straight to 4. Yearly release?
Battle Block Theater. That's a Behemoth's new game that they announced 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's got a release window hitting spring 2013.
Okay.
So in a few months. So that's cool. That's the guys who brought
interested.
Us Castle Crashers and Alien Hominid.
Yes.
I think it's been more than 4 years. I think it's been like 5 years.
It's been a while.
It's been a long
it's been
fucking
a long time.
Yeah, but they make good shit, so that's cool. This isn't important news, but I thought it was kind of interesting just because Gran Turismo 6, Sony senior vice president, Michael Denny, let slip out an interview that Gran Turismo 6 is coming to the PS3 in 2013. So this year, he basically said in an interview, they're like, he's like, well, we're still supporting the PS3 because it was, of course, a PS4 based interview.
Yeah.
So look at the games that are coming out. We got God of War, we got Last of Us, we got GT6. Kind of like,
whoops,
you let that slip. Like,
GT6 is going to end up being PS3 and a launch title for PS4.
It's going to, just because it's fucking Polyphony, and let's be honest, even if they announce Gran Turismo 6, you're saying it's coming out this year, we're not going to see it until 2016. So
when does the prologue come out?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Prologue on PS3. We'll see the actual game on PS4, maybe?
I wouldn't be surprised. But the PS4 version will still look like the PS3 version, except for about 15 cars will look like the PS, like there should be on PS4.
and the trees will still look like PS2.
Exactly. That's what they like to bring in every generation. It brings in a little bit of history of Gran Turismo.
That's right. They do it for nostalgic reasons.
Exactly. All right. Slash Troll. new PlayStation All-Stars characters were announced also this week.
This is kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. These are two characters that,
I would play them both.
Yeah, there's Zeus from the God of War series.
And Isaac, from Dead Space.
Dead Rising.
Isaac could be really cool.
Yeah, he can. Get that plasma cutter? That'd be cool, man.
Yeah.
Bam.
And they come with God of War Ascension.
Do they really?
Yeah.
So we get that, and we get Last of Us demo with God of War.
Oh, God, I hope his fucking level one's just a big-ass stomp. Fucking curb stomp. Yeah. That would be cool. Okay.
Let me see. I'm pretty sure I read that.
There's a level too. The level's a half of Unfinished Swan.
Yeah, that could be really cool or really annoying. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it looks, the screenshot I saw, it's like basically you can't see anything. It's all white, and I'm guessing the paint kind of gets splattered on there here and there, and you can see. I don't know. Looks cool. Who said this? Somebody said this on Twitter today. It might have been Anatech. Very surprising how Lara Croft wasn't a character in All-Stars, considering they had the exclusive rights to Tomb Raider from 2, I guess 2, and 3. I don't know. 3 eventually went to Dreamcast, but I think a lot of people relate her to PlayStation. More so than Big Daddy.
True, but it's a licensing thing.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally.
They don't own it, so.
Yep. Well, they don't own...
Not that they didn't try.
I was going to say, they don't own about 2/3 of the characters in that game, but
right, and yeah, they've got to approach all those third parties to say, "Hey, can we license your stuff?" And sometimes those companies are like, "No,"
or ask for too much money or something.
Right.
Yeah, so
I think it would have been a good idea. I mean, considering a new Uncharted game's coming out, Uncharted multiplayer, Uncharted 3 multiplayer is going free to play on PS.
Sorry,
it's actually pretty good, and it's free.
I'll be honest with you. When I played the Uncharted 2 multiplayer, I enjoyed it. It was fun.
It is fun. It's fun. It's free. You can go up to a certain level, and then you got to pay to move on from that point. But I kind of like the trend here. That I mean, their Killzone went free to play multiplayer. And now Uncharted is free to play multiplayer.
And Starhawk single player was free to play.
Yeah. which may as well have been the entire thing because no one plays that game.
I know.
That's a shame. That sucked.
And there's, I don't know, do you want to touch any of the Ouya stuff, Chris? One of the guys.
I was going to start with, the DLC for All-Stars, Isaac and Zeus. It's hitting, I don't know when it's hitting. I didn't see a date, but they're $5 each. The characters are $5 each. You'll find a free voucher for Zeus and Isaac Clarke waiting for you inside the case of God of War Ascension.
I think it's March 19th they're coming out.
Are they? Okay.
Sounds right.
As far as the Ouya goes, the Ouya is apparently on schedule to start shipping on March 28th to backers. They've gotten some new developers behind them, including Tripwire Interactive, who is local to us. So that was kind of something I wanted to throw out there just to...
Well, local to you anyway.
Local to... What was us, Jason?
It's not us anymore.
But they are also getting, the game they're working on is called The Ball or something like that. And, one of the VPs over at that game company, the makers of Journey, has joined the Ouya team as a developer. I'm not even sure what.
Christ, it's all going to go bankrupt now.
Nah, hey, it's not Genova-chan. He's the only one anybody cares about for that game company. So
yeah. But yeah, man, so things are apparently on schedule for them. So we'll see what happens. I did kickstart it, so I will get one, and I will probably grab a good two or three games once the console launches, just so I could, you know, try it out and give you guys a heads up of what's going on, so that when it does hit retail stores in June, you'll know what to expect.
Cool.
Ooh yeah.
Ooh yeah.
Oh no.
Well, that's it for me. So you guys want to take a break?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about our museum pieces, and then we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Q-O-T-W.
It's time to wake up.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Thanks, Jay.
Hey, both of you guys, welcome back.
Jason, thanks, man. Back, dude. Appreciate it.
Travis, how welcome. Oh, wait, you're not here.
Oh, I'm not. Glenn, welcome. Oh, nice.
So today we are doing a question of the week that was suggested to us. Well, kind of suggested.
Like a year ago?
He asked us something. It feels like a year ago, doesn't it? It was actually back in January, earlier in January. When MC Wilson sent in the email about this particular question for us, and we posed it to you guys as well because we thought it was really cool. So, the topic is, when you are adding an exhibit to a video game exhibit in a museum, what are you adding and how are you presenting it? So that's kind of where he was going. So we got a few emails, and we got a voicemail on it. So I'm going to give it to Jason so he can read the first email.
This is from our buddy Greg Little, also known as Nogrick.
What's up, Nogs?
He says, "Hey guys, I just wanted to steal Jason's idea for a Street Fighter 2 exhibit." As you're walking through the museum, you spy what appears to be a seedy-looking back alley dive. Along the walls are plastered posters highlighting a few upcoming feature fights. Guile versus Bison, Zangief versus Vega, and the long-awaited match, Ryu versus Sagat. You hear the hushed sounds of a crowd's cheers while a promoter barks out the details of the upcoming match. As you enter, you are greeted with a diorama of the Street Fighter II attract screen with the two generic guys and crowd with a white guy punching the black guy. I added that part. while the attract music plays. Close by, there is a display which overviews the backstory of the game. Further in, you'll find a brief history of the game and various details, release dates, different versions, Super Turbo, Tournament Edition, etc. Game mechanics, all the while the soundtrack plays overhead. Also, you can find feature sections on individual characters in front of a backdrop of the stage that includes story as well as playstyles, movesets, and how the character's art has changed through time. Toward the end of the exhibit would be a screen that would feature matches played between visitors. Each player would be separate onto their own arcade unit, Japanese style, and each unit would be equipped with a camera. On the screen, the match will play out along with the close-up shots of the players for the other guests to watch. Finally, there would be a section featuring arcade etiquette and the evolution of the fighting game community. Hope you guys enjoyed my idea, and I'm looking forward to hearing the other ideas. With love,
thanks, Nogric.
Thank you, Nogs.
I like that.
Jason, I want to hear your comments.
I definitely want a Street Fighter II museum exhibit. But in light of this, I was going to go for something a little more general, but we'll probably talk about that later. But no, all very good ideas. I love the idea about, you know, showing like the, you know, the art over time and stuff like that, and then you know, having the demo station, as it were.
Yeah.
And also the posters.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. Like a featured bout, you know, the featured fighters.
Yeah. There's a lot that he mentioned that I think we're going to hear and see a lot of, in this feature. And that's like, especially with like, the soundtrack in the background. I mean, I think that's going to be a common theme. And I think that's appropriate for something like this, especially when you look at, you know, some of the games that we'll talk about, you know, I'm sure that we're going to have some that have pretty iconic soundtracks that can easily be put into this type of setting.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of arcade etiquette. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Put down your quarter. Fun. Just watch. If you win, you wait, stay on there. If you lose, like step aside.
You know, employees must wash hands before returning to work.
Good game afterwards.
The super generic kind of signs like that. But,
players must put their quarter down in order to challenge.
Have
quarter
definitely. You have to. You don't play if you don't put that shit down. Nothing against you. If you don't know to put down your fucking quarter.
That's right.
You don't get to play.
Everybody that went to an arcade ever knew that. Didn't matter where the arcade was.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Jeff, you want to do the next one?
Sure. Sup, dudes? It's Hedges here with an answer for you. If I could run any gaming-based exhibit in a museum, it would be based entirely off of the promo art stock given out to stores to pimp their games. That's kind of cool. For example, when I worked at a game station in 2011... the amount of great Gears 3 artwork literally brought a tear to my eyes. I still have my life-size cutout of Link that I scored from the game store for the release of Ocarina 3D. So I guess the eye's accidental. So yeah, my exhibit would be made of all the cutouts and posters and background trailers one would find in a store throwing out at the end of a quarter to make room for a pile. To make room to pile more traded in Wii Fit boards. Totally true. Anyways, here's your answer, dude. Hedges out.
That's an interesting one.
I used to, when I worked at EB and even when I was kind of going there a lot when I was younger, I used to take home a lot of these and put them in my basement, and then my parents would get pissed off.
The only one I ever tried to get was, wow, why does her name slip my mind? The chick from Order of Ecclesia.
No,
it was Nariko, actually. It was a Heavenly Sword standee.
Okay.
I tried to get that one, and
Samoa, and, I think, is the girl from... Shinoa, yeah.
But, yeah, it was a Heavenly Sword one, now that I think about it. And we tried to get it, because Crystal wanted it, too. And you know, they said they were going to hold on to it for us, and when we went back to get it, they had gotten rid of it already. It was very, very, very upsetting.
They have some shit. Putting those things together was sometimes a bitch, though, when I worked there.
Yeah.
It'd come in, like, so many parts, I'd be like, holy crap. It's like putting together a puzzle with instructions that are written in fucking, like, Nordic or something. I don't even know if Nordic's a language. Norwegian? There we go. That's probably right.
I have no guess, so I'll keep my mouth shut. But I will read the next email. How about that?
Do it.
Hey, Indus crew. It's me, Justin, aka Sigma Omega. Haven't heard from him in a while. Sending in my game choice to put in the museum. I thought of a couple games that, and what their section of the museum would look like until I came up with one that would be perfect. Before entering the section, the first thing you would hear is the sound of traditional Japanese music from feudal Japan. After hearing the soothing music, you would enter and see pottery, ink paintings, and calligraphy on silk and paper. Representing the Edo period of Japan. As you walk through the hallway and, sorry, I lost my place. As you walk through the hallway at the end, you can see the same art style, the same style art of white wolf creatures and humans, along with the game on display. It's all one block and it's,
I told you, Mike, it's not your fault.
Yeah, it's not your fault. I suck at reading out loud. It's actually very much me. Over the display is, the name of the game. And if you haven't figured it out by now, it is Okami. The beautiful artwork in the Okami is a must have in any museum and represents games and with the Japanese them throughout. What? Did I do that right? Okami is a must have in any museum that represents games and with the Japanese them throughout.
I'm guessing with
them. And with the Japanese throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This exhibit will make them awe in its beauty. Well, that's it. Sorry for the long. Well, it's not too long.
That's not long at all, dude.
Sorry if it was long. Perfect. And I hope to see and hear more interesting topics in the future.
Thanks, Sigma.
Thank you, Sigma. Okami is a cool choice because there's really not, I don't really think there's another game out like it. I mean, it's very Zelda, the game, but.
There's a lot of games out like it, not art style.
Okay. Yeah, the art style is very unique. And
there's so much you can include with Japanese, like calligraphy and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The, you know, historic, implications and
the history.
It's a very moody game. From that particular point in history.
I think that would fit in really well in the museum, actually.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I do too.
It's beautiful.
Cool.
Agreed.
Next email?
Jason, that's you.
Go for it.
This is from that Sean Recupido dude.
Hey, that guy.
I've heard of that guy.
He says, here's my genius idea for an exhibit. I think it would be awesome for a 3D theater that shows people a virtual tour of Aperture Science with
that would
as
be
your
cool.
guide.
Gosh, that would be awesome.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Also, I think it would be cool if there was an astronomy dome that points out major historical areas from the Halo with Morgan Freeman narrating.
That would also be cool.
Anything with Morgan Freeman would be cool.
Huh? Morgan Freeman makes anything awesome.
Yeah, he does.
He could fucking narrate Two Girls, One Cup, and it would make it fucking like, wow. Awesome.
I've seen that. It's great. Finally, I think it would be awesome for a slam dunk trampoline type thing, but they call it repulsion gel.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Really, really good idea.
Aperture sizing is really cool because it could be in one of those, I'm sure, like, if you ever been to like Disney World, any of those like little, simulators where you go into like a box basically and it moves side to side and stuff and you have the screen in front of you. Be like in 3D. That'd be kind of cool. Cause it'd be kind of hard to build a whole Aperture Science thing. That would be awesome. Yeah. Though.
That would be.
That'd be pretty cool.
I agree.
And Wheatley. Come on. It's Wheatley. He's awesome.
Yes. That's probably what would make it the best part of it. Is Wheatley.
Oh, you'd have to have Wheatley in there. What was the second guy's name for the second half? Oh my God. It's going to bug me. The guy.
Doesn't matter. Wheatley.
No, the guy Wheatley's from the second half of the game.
Yeah, it's okay. It doesn't matter.
But he's good, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just saying that because you can't remember his name either.
Nah, you're right.
Or you never got that far.
I beat the game.
Oh my God, it's going to bug me. Looking it
Cave
up.
Cave Johnson.
Yes.
Look it up.
Yes,
Cave Johnson,
there you
that's
go.
It.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Anyway. Cool. Well, that's I do have a voicemail.
Yeah.
So why don't we do that one? Can you hear my tapping, my clicking?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can.
Here we go.
I love it.
Hey, this is Mike PSN08. I thought I'd call up for the question of the week.
Sup?
Now, if I was to put something together in the video game museum, I would have a room filled with 1980s arcades, such as Pac-Man, Galaga, Galactican, Frogger, Donkey Kong, and so on. And I will have the stand up in the cocktail table version of the arcade next to each other. And after that, I would have another section filled with like the mini arcade tabletop games from the 80s that were made, right, representing each of them games. And then I would have a lifelike statue of Mr. Arcade himself that was representing the commercials and then the 80s that the guy that shrunk all the arcade games down. Another section would be like a theater type thing, a mini theater type thing with shows that has like movies like Chasing Ghosts, The King of Kong, commercials from the 80s in it.
Nice.
From the Mr. Arcade himself, and so on. I would also have maybe a little section with representing merchandise that were made, like the cereal, the hats, the shirts, and all that that were made back then, too, that were produced and made. But, yeah, we'll have all that. I'll put little other icons around the arcade to show off the 1980s and that, and how arcades started back then after Pong was made. So, yeah, that's what I would do if I wanted to make a little a room section for the video game arcade museum. Oh, that's my thing for the question of the week, and I'll talk to you guys later, and hopefully this is a lot better than my sloppy emails I write out.
Sorry about
my emails way too fast. So, well, I write them when I'm not feeling great, and they look even worse, like last week. All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Later, man.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Man, I like that theater idea an awful lot.
That is a good idea.
Playing the documentaries is cool, but holy shit, yeah. Old school video game commercials. I would just sit and watch that stuff for hours.
Yeah, I would watch that for hours.
Yeah, no doubt. you have to do like the spin-off shit, too. Like, you guys remember Nintendo Cereal, right?
Nintendo Cereal.
It's a cereal now.
It's a cereal.
It's for breakfast.
It's a cereal.
Yeah, it's for breakfast
like,
now.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's for breakfast now. That's what it was. Oh, yeah.
It's a cereal.
That, that's really cool. And I was really happy that he mentioned the cocktail versions of the games in his, like 80s arcade, because that is perfect, I think.
Really?
Yeah. See, I love those things. I absolutely love them.
Oh, yeah. I love those too. I never saw too many of those in my arcade.
Not in arcades.
Haunts, but at restaurants, you know,
and bars.
Bars, yeah.
Yeah.
Those were all over the place. I love that style of machine.
And that's the thing. It's like you take that and you actually have a bar as part of it. And, you know, have people sitting down with their drinks at the cocktail tables, mm-hmm. you know, playing their games. It'd be cool. It'd be good shit.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. That is all of the user interaction for this one. Guys want to throw your 2 cents in?
Oh, it's tough, dude. So definitely. Yeah, I mean, I really wanted to do a nice Street Fighter exhibit, but
and then
Nogger
kind
of stole it. That. So I mean, I'm going to go a little more general, and it kind of plays off of Mike Penis 08's as well. Okay. You know that, because I mean that was my experience. You know, growing up was that arcade scene. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't think
that's when the arcade scene was the biggest. Is in the 80s.
Right.
You know, when they had those machines like Pac-Man and Galaga and all those types of games. Because mm-hmm. after that era, you know, things kind of shifted mainly towards fighting games and stuff like that in arcades.
Sure.
And like gun games and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. it moved away from these types of games.
But I would love to recreate, you know, Flynn's Arcade from Tron.
That would be cool.
I mean, and it's been done, I think, for like a promo stunt at like an E3 or something like that. But yeah, that is, that just screams video games to me.
Yeah.
But aside from that, maybe, oh God, you know, cause arcades changed an awful lot. You know, back then it was just about the actual machines themselves. But later on in like the 90s, you know, you had things like Aladdin's Castle and shit like that that tried to make it a little more family friendly. So they got, you know, different things like claw machines and like skee ball machines. But then, you know, at the same time, they also had a lot of the older kid games. You know what I'm talking about? You know, the brawlers and stuff, Final Fight,
yeah,
Ninja
like,
Turtles.
Like X-Men and stuff like that.
Yeah, I would love to recreate those, or maybe just kind of show the progression of arcades through the years.
That'd be cool.
I mean, there's a couple different ways that you could approach a museum. You could have like a walking museum, you know, where they have a bunch of, you know, paraphernalia from, you know, that time period and just go do like a, you know, time lapse type thing. But there's also the touchy-feely kind of stuff, you know, where it's like interactive, you know, they'll have arcade machines for you to play or consoles and stuff. One of the favorite things that I had at, the Coke Museum down in Atlanta, there was a certain stop on the tour where this like old timey like barkeep, or like the soda jerk, I guess you'd call them. You know, he was behind the counter and stuff, and it was all like this old like soda shop like machinery and stuff. And Yeah, he just tried to recreate the experience of an old soda shop back in the day. So maybe we could have like a pimply-faced teenager that was completely and totally disinterested in his job, and you'd like bring him tickets, and he'd be like, okay, you can have one of the little rubber bands for your finger, or you can get a pencil.
You know, you could have just bought one of these for spent less.
I think that would be funny. But yeah, if I want to, oh God, yeah, it's so hard to focus on one thing. I mean, obviously I love the Street Fighter, but I would really want to focus on timeline and just the experience,
yeah,
I guess, yeah, overall.
Maybe history of fighting games?
Yeah, that would totally work too. Sign me up. Let's go.
Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, that was my original. Mine's going through, let's forget about the technicalities of my idea, but this is what I would do. It would show a progression of graphics since video games started, especially in the first-person genre.
Oh, so that's a really good one.
Basically, you'd walk in to a room, would just be like, you know, flashiness all around. You'd sit at a kiosk kind of thing, and you'd basically have about 15 minutes to play. It would start off, you're playing Wolfenstein, and after about 2 or 3 minutes, the screen would automatically morph into Doom. So then you're playing Doom, and without kicking a beat after 2 or 3 minutes, it morphs into Duke Nukem 3D, then to Quake, nice, then to GoldenEye, then to Half-Life, then Halo, Half-Life 2, Call of Duty 4, Killzone 2, Crysis 3. It's like, so in that 15 minutes time, you'll see like the beginning of first-person shooters to where they are at the
and
present
it just
day.
Seamlessly
it's
morphs
a seamless
into
transition. So it's like you're just using
that
it
is
pad,
a really cool idea, Jeff.
That was what I came up with. I was like, I think that'd be really cool. I don't think that's technically possible.
Man. You have your moments, Jeff Journey.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man. I think that'd be kind of cool.
You are the glue.
Well, my original idea, I don't know if you remember.
Jeff Journey.
I don't know if you remembered when I was, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I need to send this to an email so I remember. And it was fighting games, drunk, it was going to do the same thing, but with fighting games. But I figured that would be kind of harder, so it'd be like the same transition. Like you'd start with Karate Champ, and then it morphs into like Street Fighter 1, and then Street Fighter 2. But then it'd be kind of like, I don't think the transitions would be as cool because there's so many mechanics in there that are just gonna.
Yeah,
with you.
They would be a lot less seamless.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's really cool though. Cool. Well, I mean, I didn't get as creative with mine, but I mean, I would obviously have something based off of, I mean, we know for a fact there would be something in there for Mario and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But I focused on my favorite series. You know, I would want something, showing the Castlevania series and, you know, just like Nog said with his, I'd want that music in the background because, you know, they put out that CD set a while back that had like 18 discs and like 250 tracks or something like that. There's quite a selection of music to go through. Have like a progression of, not like what you're saying, but like just a visual progression of how the sprites changed along the way and the different characters and like the Castlevania timeline. And probably the biggest thing about my exhibit is that I would want it to be in an iconic area from the Castlevania series. And in my mind, when I think of Castlevania, there's one thing that is present in just about every game, and that is the clock tower. And I would have it like literally like a moving sidewalk exhibit where that moving sidewalk would at one point, like it would kind of go at an incline and almost like you were on one of the gears that were, it was like kind of moving you along and you were on the gears and you would step off and it would be part of the moving sidewalk again. And it pretty much would run you through the entire lifespan of the Castlevania series, starting from like the NES game and, or even the MSX and arcade version, and just go all the way and get to like Symphony of the Night and like the,
that'd be cool.
Like, and then some of the new ones at the end, basically where things branched off, and where like, it kind of, where Castlevania kind of moved into different genres and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of showing that timeline and putting you into, literally putting you into an environment, that is iconic within Castlevania.
And then end with Mirror of Fate and everyone goes, oh.
No, we're not going to talk about Mirror of Fate. We're not going to talk about Mercury Steam at all. those are different games. They're not Castlevania. It's fine.
They're
but that's kind of where I was going. And for me, it's just like there's, you know, especially when there was that huge change of what Castlevania is from when it went from the traditional style Castlevania to Symphony of the Night when it turned into the Metroidvania genre.
That really hit it. Like, a lot of people played Castlevania, like 1, 2, and 3, like we did, mm-hmm. like people our generation, yeah. but it didn't really hit like very big popularity till Symphony of the Night. That's when it absolutely. Was like, that's when it blew that is, up.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in reality, the Symphony of the Night and the majority of the games that came after Symphony of the Night were nothing like the old Castlevanias. I mean, you could, mm-hmm. you could throw Simon's Quest in there. It's kind of like a Simon's Questy, but yeah. like your traditional Castlevania, Dracula's Curse, Castlevania 4, Super Castlevania 4, Rondo of Blood, all those games were a very different style
they're
of
totally
game.
Totally different. Yeah.
yeah. They're action platformers, straight up action platformers that were very difficult. You know, that was one of the big things about Castlevania is that the games were hard. And Symphony of the Night just basically, made a complete tangent of where it was going. And, it'd be an important part of the exhibit where that change happened. And it like just to show the way that the game morphed into what it is now. When I think about it, I mean, it's one of the things that it's like, I want to be in a Castlevania game when I see this kind of stuff. So that clock tower is the one that stands out for me. So I would actually have the exhibit be the clock tower and you would just run through
it. That'd be kind of cool. I can see that.
But, yeah, that's it.
Awesome.
You guys have any other things you want to add before we wrap up?
This needs to happen.
I know.
That's about it.
Who has the money? Who has the capital to help us make this happen?
Whoever can make a huge clock tower, an entire aperture science lab, and put all this shit together.
Fuck it. We're just making a theme park. I want rides.
Oh, there we go.
Video
That'd
game
awesome.
Theme park. There you go. Jason's on the right track.
All right. Spot us about $1 billion. Let's do this.
No doubt. Where can we buy the land? That's the question.
Yeah, exactly.
Where are we going to put this damn thing? Oh shit. All right. Should we move on?
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, I got some, new releases.
Ooh. Okay. So there's actually a shit ton of games coming out next week. So I guess the sort of one of the big headlining games is Tomb Raider for the 360 sort of. And PS3 and I guess PC as well. So I guess Jason's talked that one up enough. So you should already know about it. also on the PS3 and 360, there's Nataru Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 3. So yeah, Nataru
Fuck
game.
Yeah.
Whatever.
There's
I
that.
Think there's also some sort of 3DS Nataru game, something Nataru powerful, something
Naruto.
Whatever. Who gives a shit?
Nataru.
Okay, so the PS3 is getting another Atelier Ashia, The Alchemist of Dusk. So it's an NIS title, another one of those Alchemist series games. So here they're Ooh. Meant to be okay, but I've never actually played any, so who knows. And the 3DS is getting Castlevania, Lords of Shadows, Mirror of Fate, which I'm kind of shocked is coming out. Because I haven't heard jack shit about it. So, all right. And on the PC, it's getting a couple of interesting games as well. It's getting SimCity, so this is a big reboot. Yeah, that's
going
does
to look cool.
Simulate everything. Also, the game that Jason mentioned a couple of episodes ago, the Showdown Effect, is coming out, and that looks pretty damn fantastic. And yeah, I think there's some baseball games coming out, so if you've got a Vita, I guess you can get a baseball game. Or you can just play whatever PS Plus game launch title is now free, so you do that, or whatever.
And Plants vs. Zombies.
All right, that is pretty much it. I also see Dynasty Warrior 7 Empires for PS3.
I see a unanimous pick of the week, that's what I see.
Yeah, okay. MUD, FIM Motocross World Championship.
Mm-hmm.
There's some more DLC hitting next week, including Mass Effect, Call of Duty, Skyrim, and Sleeping Dogs for the PS3. Let's see. There's some Forza Horizon DLC, it looks like.
Yeah.
MLB 2K13 is one of those, baseball games he was
Nobody.
Nobody. Wii U is getting Amazing Spider-Man. Alrighty. Mm-hmm. And there's Castlevania Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate. We already talked about that. Mm-hmm. And MLB 13, the show, is coming out for the Vita.
Yeah.
So that list you just ran down is repeat covered. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, he said some baseball games. I was being specific.
Oh. Yeah, you played one baseball game. You played them all. You listening, Sony Santa Monica? That's a God of War joke because we just... Mm-hmm. Never mind.
I got it.
As we were.
Jeff Chorney.
The glue. Pick of the week.
Fuck you guys.
I like that Tomb Raider game a little bit.
I'm going with Tomb Raider. I got it pre-ordered.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Getting that
I'll
shit.
Go with Tomb Raider, too. If I do buy a game next week, it may or may not be Castlevania, but got to go with Tomb Raider.
Cool. You guys will like it. I'm pretty damn sure.
Very
if
cool.
If not, you can give me shit.
Well, we're going to give you shit
It's all
anyway.
Your fault, dude.
Probably.
You made a shitty game, Jason.
Thanks.
All right, let's do some more emails.
All right, let's do it.
We got a few here.
We do.
Who's up?
Can I read the first one?
Go for it.
I don't know why, just because I don't. Okay, says.
This is from Leo, by the way.
Oh, is this from Leo? It's from Vossi?
There it is.
Vossi from Gamers Only Older. He says, this one is a little late and covers a Game of the Year thought, so I'd like to start out by saying I hate when mommy and daddy and daddy and daddy fight. I hope you guys had a good laugh at the end of the show. Disclaimer, we always fight in the shit, but we never take it seriously.
Yeah, it's never, there's never any hard feelings.
There's exactly. Brotherly love here.
That's right.
Exactly. It's like, we fight and fight and fight, and then we said we're going to settle this in the match of Street Fighter afterwards, and then we joke around and, you know,
and then Jeff cries more because he's not
exactly. Then I'm like, fuck this. I don't want to play. Let's play some Halo, Jason. See how I do good in Halo. And then he never wants to play Halo. Yeah. So he's up on that. Anyway, I had a long email written, but decided to distill it into the following three questions. If you were to fall into a coma for 5 years and had only a set of Game of the Year top five games as a reference to catch up on what's been good in gaming, would you expect those games to wow you on the first playthrough, or would you expect each one or most of them to be super fun on multiple playthroughs? Do you think you would value those games that have the big first playthrough impression more than the others, considering you have to move on to the rest of the games on your list? Examples of big wows are Uncharted, sorry Jason, Walking Dead, sorry Chris. Examples of fun on multiples are DMC, Torchlight, etc. If you answered yes to the last question, do you think you might have changed your approach to any of your Game of the Year picks for last year? And now, P.S., Glenn brought up Dear Esther on his on that show, and I would recommend To the Moon for another helping of a game that uses a medium to deliver narrative. And P.P.S., just so you don't feel misled by the subject, and then he drew a picture of boobs.
Yes, the subject of the email was boobs.
Was
Thank
boobs.
Thank you for that.
Thank you, Vossi.
He just wanted to make sure that we read it.
That's right. That's right.
He knows the way to our hearts.
Interesting approach.
I really feel like it would be a mix of both.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean,
you're in a coma
when
for
I think
years.
About, well, my game of the year last year was one that wowed me right away and that I enjoyed in multiple playthroughs. So.
Yeah, mine could be the same for this year, DMC, but he says 5 years, though. I'd have to look back. That's like 5 years of top five game of the year shit, and it'd be like, ugh, that'd be tough. But in all honesty, if I woke up after 5 years, 5 years is a long time. I would like Chris said, I'd like those wow moments that are fun. Cause I mean, 5 years is a long time.
Like, yeah.
I mean, playing Uncharted 1 versus 3, there's a good time between that, and that'd be a pretty big wow. But then the multiple ones, I don't know. I'm going to take the cop-out answer on the fence, like Chris, and a mixture of both. If I had to pick top five, I'd want two of them to be wow factors and three of them to be like multiple playthrough shit, I guess, that are just really fun to play.
That's totally fair. I think I'm going to go that route as well, to be honest. I mean, there's something that we said for big.
We all bitched out, Leo, sorry.
Yeah. No, seriously, though, it's, you know, I think traditionally I'm more of a multiple playthrough kind of guy.
Yeah.
I used to be,
but not anymore.
Because you don't have the time.
Right.
You know, your gameplay style has just changed. You know, your taste has changed a little bit. Yeah.
To be honest, a lot of the WoW games are games that were legitimately really fun that you probably play through more than once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So. But I need those on the plate as well, just so maybe I can appreciate the multiple playthrough ones.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like you can have a quality game that doesn't have either of those.
Yeah.
You
know? Oh, totally. Yeah.
I mean, an example I'll use, and this is definitely one that you can consider multiple playthroughs because I'm sure a lot of people played through it multiple times, but it was on my game of the year list and I only played through it once, and that was Mark of the Ninja.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like there were a whole lot of wow moments in Mark of the Ninja. It was a fucking fantastic game.
Yeah.
And a lot of people probably would play it through more
than once. And
you
don't need to play through that more than once. You played
through
it once.
I played it through it only one time. Would I like to play through it again? Yeah, but likely I probably won't.
Yeah.
So, but it definitely belongs on that list.
Yeah. And then the upside end, like DMC is like, it didn't wow me in terms of like graphics or anything like that, but that game, it's like fucking crack, man. I played it like, when did it come out?
Oh, man.
Like, end of January.
I gotta say, that game wowed me on so many fronts.
Well, like, when I see Leo's thing as being wowing, I take that as more of like a visual aspect. Like, in terms of like gameplay and level design and like what they did with boss fights like that, that wowed me, I guess.
Yeah.
For sure. But that's what also makes me want to play it multiple times. It's kind of like the same thing. It's like, I don't know, so good. But seeing his Torchlight, I wouldn't. He put that in his examples of multiple playthroughs, but I haven't played Torchlight multiple playthroughs.
I don't know if I would have enjoyed Torchlight as much if I hadn't played the shit out of Diablo 3.
Yeah.
To be honest, but.
That makes sense.
So it's tough. But, yeah, when you really have to narrow it down.
Yeah, I think you need a good mixture of both. To be
honest. Yeah. Also boobs.
Also boobs. Boobs, hey. Boobs help. Dead or Alive 5.
All right. So next email.
You go ahead.
This one comes from. Yeah, I'm up next.
Go for it.
Okay. This one comes from Ranak, and he said, we haven't heard from him in a while either. He says, I know you guys already talked about the PS4, but I thought I would try my luck anyway. I thought the conference was great, like a mini E3. When Sony said 2 hours, I was so giddy. All right. Well, the thing that I really loved about it is it was a minimal bullshit. No sales charts, no PlayStation family nonsense. Well, they did have a little of that, but, hell, there was only one montage right at the end. They showed the Kinect thing, but then quickly moved on. They showed a list of services supported, Netflix, etc., then moved on. They showed Move, but didn't dwell on it too much. Even the Vita. They mentioned it in passing. It was a PS4.
Shouldn't have done.
They mentioned it in passing. It was the PS4's spotlight, and it was very clear that they are targeting the core gamers that really put a smile on my face. And holy shit, Square, 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 they really are the joke of the industry. Ranak.
They kind of are.
Oh god, that was so painful, just watching them come out on stage and show the same goddamn demo, and then say, be excited for a Final Fantasy that you will hear more about in June. Oh god, shut up, just go away.
I like his point. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm done, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I like his point, how like, he said they mentioned something went on, but the backside of that is, it led to more questions. It's like, okay, they showed the Kinect thing.
Yeah.
That was it. But they didn't explain what it would do, they didn't show any demo of it. And then they said, okay, here's a bunch of services supported, Netflix, et cetera, stuff that's already being supported by PS3, then moved on. And then the Vita, which I understand this was a PS4 spotlight, I get that, but they did go into how, yes, it should be doing the whole remote play thing, but I think they could have spent a little bit more time on the Vita, especially if they want to sell it and say, this is going to be an integral part of your PS4 experience.
Yeah, it seems like it's
I would have liked to have seen them talk about the cross-controller support a little bit. You know, that's really the...
That.
Well, like, I understand that you don't care about it.
What do you mean cross-controller is in using your Vita as a controller?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just why would you ever want to use the Vita as a controller?
Because if they port Wii U games over to PS4...
If they port what?
Oh, Wii U games over to PS4. Then it could be an optional control setup.
Oh, okay. I understood you as being like using your Vita as a PS4 controller.
No.
Cause like when the whole Marvel vs. Capcom 3 thing, when they're like, hey, you can use your Vita for Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom, use a controller.
Because then you don't have to actually do moves. You just touch a button and it does everything
for
you.
Well, it doesn't work
on
the PS3 version, but yeah. That's where you go. Yeah.
But,
that's the part I actually didn't like about the conference. Everything else I really liked about it. But.
Well, I did like what he said at the beginning, that there was minimal bullshit. There's no sales charts.
That's true.
You know, was really nice. And I feel like you need at least one montage. You know, I'm not surprised they had one, and it's good for them to show off a little few things.
We can't claim bullshit yet until the system releases. For
this
all we know,
true.
There could have been a lot of bullshit.
Could have been a whole lot of bullshit. Could have been 2 hours of bullshit.
to have like a big press release like this and to kind of reel back on some of the things that they
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well,
I'm still taking the 8 gigs of RAM with a grain of salt. It's like,
oh, I think that's probably. Well, yeah.
I think it'll go in there too, but like that's $140. You know, that's what we talked about.
It's going to be expensive.
The one thing is
like everyone's like, oh, don't worry, Gaikai is going to take care of backwards compatibility. You can stream it. But then I was thinking like, it's not going to be like that because that means that Sony's got to pay for every one of those developers to get the licensing fees to stream all those games. It's like maybe. Square with what's that game that came out on PSP that they didn't allow on the PSN network.
Oh yeah, there was a wasn't it Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah, it was a Kingdom Hearts game.
Okay,
it's like so they because I mean realistically, OnLive would have had every single game ever released available for streaming. But the reason that a big announcement like this game's coming to OnLive is because they need to work out the legalities of it and to get the licensing agreements.
Yeah, they totally,
so it's not as easy as.
That totally could be an issue, yeah. It didn't really come down to
like, oh shit, might not happen.
Huh.
For some games.
I'm super interested in the Gaikai stuff. That opens up a lot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The one thing that worries me about that is like, they're saying, oh yeah, we're gonna try and do backwards compatibility with Gaikai, but it's like.
If it's a roundabout way.
Dude, that input lag, man, it's gonna be.
For a fighting game or something,
Local, you know? I mean, you're going through your router. It's not like a direct connection.
Right.
So yeah, shit.
It's still like for some games, for playing a role playing game, wouldn't make
a
problem.
Right. Some like a role playing game. Anything it's not like you're going to be able to play, the Mega Man 8 from PS1 streaming. I mean, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
We don't know, dude. I mean, have you guys tried OnLive?
I did not.
I didn't either.
I've heard good
seriously,
things.
Seriously, it is pretty, pretty fucking good. It's
yeah.
There's some black magic shit going on there. Hmm. Like I don't know how they do it, but yeah, we really don't know until.
No, we don't. We won't.
Yeah. Until it's out. Really. I hope it works. I really do. I want it to work. You know, I want to be able to pop in one of my games and stream it off the internet. I'd be good with that.
Sounds good. I agree.
Uh-huh. Cool. Last email.
Last email is from Eric. This dude says, "Hi guys. Sony's failure to show the PS4 box reminded me of something. When is Nintendo going to show the Wii U? That thing must be out soon."
Slash troll.
I see what he did there. That's pretty funny.
Someday,
because technically they never showed it ever. Did they?
What?
I don't think they ever showed it on stage.
Wii U.
Yeah.
I don't think they ever showed it on stage, but they showed it in like a plastic box.
And it was always covered because they didn't want to show how long it was. It was always like with like the box in front of it or something. I remember like a lot of I was talking about that. Like we saw it in person, but they've never released like a public photo showing how long the thing is and the actual form factor of it. And they made it look more like the Wii.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't think they ever did.
Huh.
Wow. That's where I'm guessing where this joke's coming from, because he's like, it must be out of Zoom, because technically they've never shown the hardware.
I thought he was talking about how there just isn't shit available for this.
Well, there's that, too. The joke could work both ways, actually.
Well, I guess it works both ways, really.
I'm just guessing because of his failure to show the PS4 box. I figured it would be more along the Wii U not showing the box, but gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm getting more and more interested in that Wii U, dude. Bayonetta, Monster Hunter.
Just wait for the other versions of Bayonetta.
I don't think Monster
Hunter. Monster Hunter, not so much.
Yeah, and I don't know about Bayonetta either. I've heard that that's it. Like,
would you like to make a small wager? I know you're in the industry and shit, but I believe in this one, damn it.
that Bayonetta is going to get ported to other platforms?
Yes.
I mean, it totally could happen, but I mean, nothing's been said about a timed exclusive, but I've read some stuff.
It'll probably come first to Wii U, obviously. It's definitely
Bayonetta
going
2?
To, but. Yeah, but then again, was supposed to come to Wii U first and be exclusive as well, and what happened to that?
What's that?
What? Rayman Legends?
Rayman Legends.
Yeah.
But then again, that wasn't being published by Nintendo, but yeah, different.
That was still a dick move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, especially to the Wii U, talking to Harlock, like that is like, that's like a game that a lot of people were like, oh man, they're supposed to be playing it like now. Wasn't it supposed to come out in like February or March?
I think it was this month.
Yeah, and then they're like, guess what? We're delaying it to be released for the same time as the 360 and PS3 versions.
And all of our listeners that have Wii U's all said,
fuck
you.
But Bayonetta, is that a thing that's going to come out this year?
What's that?
I hope so. They haven't shown anything on Bayonetta 2 yet.
No, I don't think that's coming out this year.
Just the teaser trailer.
Yeah. Doubt it'll be out this year. I do have some more voicemails.
Cool.
Guys, want some of those?
I like to hear voices.
No, good. I don't want them.
That aren't inside my head.
And well, how's it going, Ennis? How you keeping?
Hey, I'm going good.
I trust that you are all well. Hey, yo, what's going on? It's Eddie Kusanagi, you know what I'm saying?
What's the
random question, you know what I'm saying? Showing some love. Love you guys, man, for real.
Eddie Kusanagi. Hey, right,
question one. Yo, I've been seeing these Harlem Shake videos, man. I'm feeling that beat. I'm feeling the randomness, but I can totally see you guys doing one.
No.
And if you did one, like, what would you do? You know,
on
the wall, I don't know, wear a scream mask, do something creative, man. I could totally see you guys doing it. Like, the three of you guys, like, yeah. Okay.
Nope. I have no idea.
Second question.
What
he's talking about. That is completely random, man. I'm fucking, yeah. Second question. Do you see, like, being a porn star, do you think that it is a degrading profession? Is it degrading, you know? Like, if you knew a porn star in person, you know, male or female, I don't know, it doesn't matter. But, I mean, would you, like, have a drink with them? Would you hang out with them? I wouldn't. I think it'd be a little weird, right?
What?
Would you agree? Be a little weird.
It depends.
Dude.
All right, third question. Can we agree that ranch dressing can go on anything, like pizza, your chicken fingers, your ramen noodles, though?
No.
Your ramen noodles.
Ramen noodles,
can it go on anything?
No.
Do you think I mean, ranch dressing does taste really good. I mean, I'm supposed to stay away from that crap, but I don't know. It's so good, though, man. It's really good. All right. And fourth thing, this is me, like, sharing something. I had a dream, right? I had this crazy-ass dream I was kidnapped.
And Jeff Chorney saved his ass.
I woke up in a helicopter, like, completely naked.
Chorney was piloting the helicopter.
They pushed me off into this big-ass swimming pool full of bacon and ranch dressing. God. And I was like, oh my God, that shit was all over my face. It was, oh my God, it was disgusting, but it was kind of good. I mean, I don't
like
know.
Jeff Chorney.
But I mean, whatever. Thought I'd share that with you guys, and I love you guys. I really do. I mean that. You guys are awesome.
And by you guys,
showing
you mean
some
Jeff
love, you know what I'm saying?
And, I know.
All right, y'all keep it real, though.
No, he's,
see
we'll
you guys
keep it real.
I
Thanks,
love
Eddie.
Oh shit!
We're teasing because we've been playing a lot of fighting games with Eddie recently, and he's recently discovered alcohol, and
yes,
he's a little touchy feely with his Jeff
touchy feely over the internet,
he's touching himself and feeling himself about Jeff.
Well, I mean, this is his first connection with a Canadian, right? I mean. What else would you do? What was his first one?
That's what I did the first time we talked, Jeff.
Well, definitely Jason. I brought him fucking animals when he was feeling shitty.
I will never forget that.
And meatballs.
Well,
that was the best night. I felt
so
bad.
To be fair, we all ended up in the same bed spooning. So
that is true.
I have that picture framed.
Have that picture framed. That picture is awesome. You need to scan that shit and send it to me.
Yeah.
No, it's mine. Awesome. It's my memory.
Oh, shit. What was his first question?
The first question was something about Harlem video.
The Harlem Shake.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
A lot of people like they get everything on the internet gets overused. That's what happens. That's what the internet is there for. But I think most of them are funny. And I actually thought about this next time I get together to do something like this, but we can't reveal what we do because that would take out all of the entertainment of the Harlem Shake video. Have you never seen one, Chris?
No, I guess not.
I'm not going to try to explain it. Just look it up on YouTube.
Okay.
The Toronto Raptors did one the other day. It was really funny. It was good, but,
okay.
I think that's actually a good idea. I actually thought about that. Like next time a bunch of us get together, like I was thinking more of like an MGC or even at the Days of Goo, if a bunch of us go, we should do one of those videos for the hell of it. I think it'd be kind of funny. But I'm feeling you on that one for sure.
All right. Next question was, would you feel uncomfortable talking to a porn star?
Uncomfortable or uncomfortable?
he would be uncomfortable
talking to a porn star.
I know that's
I wouldn't feel uncomfortable.
That's kind of shitty.
But I would just honestly, a lot of the dudes in porn, when I see them, like interviews like that, they just seem like douchey guys in general.
Yeah.
It's just like, I probably wouldn't talk to this person whether they worked at McDonald's or they're a porn star.
Yeah. It just depends, for me, it depends on what the conversation was going to be.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about your profession. How about that?
Yeah, no.
But, you know, if you want to talk about football or something.
Would I feel intimidated? I probably would. I don't know. I mean, there was some chick porn star, and I would probably... Because to me, whether this is wrong or not, I'd picture them having a bit of a stripper mentality where they're going to tell you what you want to hear, like they like you and only you. Yeah. And then that would just make me, she likes me.
No, I think female porn stars would just not even associate.
It depends on if you're like, in what kind
of situation. If you're trying to get in their pants.
I don't know. I mean, it's more like, you know, if they felt comfortable being themselves around you. I mean, that's certainly.
Yeah. And if you didn't even know they were one.
But if you like saw them out at a bar or something like that, then. Yeah, they're probably still putting up a persona.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough to say.
It's hard. Tough to say.
Man, I don't judge.
I would not go. I'm not going to say that I would never talk to a porn star. Let's say
I would not feel less of them or think less of them.
That's really interesting, to be honest. So.
Yeah. And to be honest, like, why would we feel less of them? Like, they're doing something that everybody likes to do, and they're getting paid a lot of money for it.
Yeah. Some people, I mean, there's definitely that stigma, you know, where. You know, a lot of porn stars are heavy into drugs and they just kind of ruin their lives.
Yeah.
You know, got a 5-year shelf life and whatever. But there's a lot of people that have made, you know, a pretty good living off of that. And they're smart individuals.
There's probably people who everyone here has worked with or acquainted with that do all that shit that don't do that same job, but you just don't know. So
I've known a few strippers in my life, and, you know, some of them have moved on to really, you know, nice professional careers, and
hey, you got to pay the bills, right?
Yeah, you know, it's
some people do it just to get through college.
Mm-hmm.
I don't judge in that respect.
Nah,
no, me I either. Don't think I would either. Three,
ranch dressing, go on anything.
What the fuck?
Not anything.
Dude?
Oh god,
ranch dressing's disgusting.
Did you put it on ice cream? Too far.
Oh no.
Oh god, ice cream. Oh god.
I always use ice cream as like my mixer. If somebody brings something up, it's like, do you like olives?
You could put barbecue sauce on anything. Right. You put barbecue sauce on ice cream?
That's disgusting. I was thinking spaghetti, but you just brought it up to a totally new level.
Ice cream, that's that line. You know what I mean?
Because like peanut butter, well with a lot awesome on ice cream.
Right. Awesome. Peanut butter is awesome on ice cream. That's true.
Yep, that would work.
That would work.
Barbecue sauce, not so much. Ranch dressing, not so much. Would you put ranch dressing on a peanut butter sandwich?
Sorry. That's nasty.
Yeah, pancakes? No.
I'd put peanut butter on pancakes.
Oh, yeah, totally. I think peanut butter goes on more shit than ranch dressing.
Oh. Mm. Oh. Jason.
Yo.
My son loves peanut butter waffles.
Oh, yeah. My boy.
he really is
my godson.
Well, because he's got no sense of reference, give him waffles with ranch dressing and see what he does.
Actually, I think he's tried ranch dressing and doesn't like it.
You're just saying that because you don't like it.
No, it's true. It's the truth. I love barbecue sauce. He doesn't like barbecue sauce either. Which is weird. He doesn't like ketchup either. That's weird, dude.
I think it's just weird.
I think it's just a sauce thing. He's not into sauces.
Kids go to either sauce or no sauce.
It's a phase, but he loves peanut butter. Oh my god.
That is not a phase.
That is my son. That's what that is.
I'm 34 years old and I still fucking love peanut butter.
Oh yeah, absolutely. When it comes to sauces though, I'm the barbecue sauce on anything kind of guy. I mean, not literally anything, but.
Right.
But like most things.
Yeah. I like barbecue sauce.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see barbecue sauce even more than ranch. Ranch is like really tangy. I thought that was weird on pizza the first time. I was like, okay, this is actually pretty decent when you dip your crust in it. But other than that, it's like chicken wings or like salad.
I ain't got no time for no dressing.
Vegetables works, yeah.
All right, I got two more voicemails.
Cool.
You guys ready?
Yep. No wonder Eddie got fat, though.
All right, here we go.
Hey, guys. It's Fluffy. It's been a while. I haven't called.
Fluffy!
It's not anything like that. It's like I have the phone in my hand, and I don't have like the energy or twisting of the arm to move it and dial a number.
I understand. But I know.
I've got it now. I made sure to do it now. I miss you guys, man. What's the fuck's going on?
Not much.
Same question, man.
Not much. I'm fucking instead of just getting drunk at home. Why the fuck not?
I don't know.
You guys good?
Yeah. Yeah, but you?
I got about, I'll tell you what, I got a big pile of silver coins.
No shit, huh?
Fucking $50. I'm gonna go take all the coins in and fucking buy shit in coins.
Do it.
I should, nah, fuck, I don't know why they even said that. It's just the sort of fucking the only thing that's in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, I don't know what to say.
I love you. I'll say that.
I got a water gun.
For real?
That's on my shelf.
Jason, A Striker.
Fan.
I wish.
Fucking hell. I'm not going to say what I got there. Listen, I'm going to let you go. I've got fucking nothing to say. Okay.
Bye. Thank God.
Thanks, Fluffy. Someone please tell me what just happened there?
He's too lazy to give us a call, but, you know, he's more than happy to, like, lug a bunch of coins around town to pay for shit.
Okay.
Also, he has a squirt gun.
Okay.
It's been a while since he talked to us, so, you know, he just wanted to give us a little update.
Okay. So I'm putting this all together.
Us and he misses us.
That apparently nothing is going on in his life. That's what he wanted to let us know.
Oh. And we will all get to your Indus questions, Fluffy. They're all awesome. You sent in the other week, but
we're going to do those next
soon.
Week, I think.
Trust me, we will. I promise you I would. It's going to happen.
All right. Last email.
Okay.
Or voicemail.
Hey, guys. It's me, Nabashi.
What's up,
Jim?
This isn't really a question. This is a matter of me expressing myself. I felt like I need to do this because I'm at work and I'm bored out of my effing mind and I'm thinking about stuff and I just felt like I didn't want to express it. This game related, so it's not like nothing suicidal or something like that. I don't know why I find out this. Never mind. Nothing like that. So I just heard about the new Mass Effect 3 DLC that's about to come out.
What was that? What did you say?
Just so you know, like ever since I beat Mass Effect 3, like I've played the fuck out of it. Like, yeah, like
Mass Effect 3.
Read the letter. Well, hopefully you did last week, but on the letter I said like that was like almost 10 hours. It was like 169 hours in Mass Effect 3. So I don't know. It's so weird because like I don't know. I was like after I beat the game, after everything was ended and done, like other than like the usual like DLC, like I brought up like, the Leviathan and Omega DLC. Leviathan is worth it, by the way, and Omega's really not. To a certain extent. It's still good, though. I just stopped playing Mass Effect. I was playing it for like a whole year straight after I, like, had discovered it. I didn't love discovering it. I mean, like, listen to you guys enough to, it's like, fine, I'll fucking get it. Oh, wow, I'm fucking playing it. Oh, my God, this game's amazing! And then I played 3. And so, it was like, one of those things. So anyway, the bottom line is, I'm excited for this fucking DLC. And I'm excited in, like, in, like, so such a weird way. Because, like, from what I can tell, this DLC probably has, like, zero combat in it, which is good, it's fine. It costs $15, which is, like, wow, that's expensive for something that doesn't have any combat or anything like that. But, fucking great! It has, like, interactions!
Yeah!
Oh, shitload of interactions! There's 4 gigs of interactions that this 360 game handles and has to split in 2 parts. That's crazy and insane!
4 gigs of interaction!
Yes, I want to play this! What? I want to play this so hard! This is like, this is the last time you get to, like, actually talk to your crew, and this is actually a farewell type of thing. I don't know, like I had that in Mass Effect 3, but I don't think I had enough of that. Did that make sense?
Fuck no!
And I'm emotionally attached to my characters, and like, holy shit, I can have, like, this really last, like, one more broke date with Garrus or something like that, and one more actual date with Tally. That's fucking amazing!
Oh, I see where he's going.
I'm so excited for it. Like, this is most excited for, like, a DLC I've been in quite a while.
You just lost
me. It's kind of like being excited for Mass Effect 3 again, so it's kind of a weird thing. And this is the one time DLC actually did what it's supposed to do. Time's running out, there's only 3 minutes left, I'm gonna shut it up, so I'll see you guys later, probably, maybe not.
Probably. Peace.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to full disclosure here. I have no idea what just happened.
It's lost a lot of context there.
He's talking all about the Mass Effect 3 DLC. Nabashin.
Like, I kind of want to call up Fluffy and have him translate for us.
Nabashin, you talk too fast for Google Talk. Seriously.
So give us the rundown, Chris.
For that phone number.
what is he saying there?
What's that?
What is he saying?
No, he's talking about the DLC that's coming out and the fact that there's going to be a lot more interaction between all the characters.
He just wants more dates.
Yeah, he's excited to play the DLC because of how much you're going to be able to interact with the characters again.
Yeah, it's less mission-based, less story, and just more dates with Garrus.
More dates. Emergency induction port.
I love you, Tally. I'll always love you.
I love you, Nabashin, but I didn't understand a fucking word of that voicemail. Some of it might be my fault. I've had some wobbly pops, but that's... God damn you fast. Yeah, snap.
All right. Well, that's all I've got. So you guys want to move on?
Sure. You sure we don't have one more?
We do have one more, but it's from someone who I already played a voicemail from, so I'm going to play that one next week.
Okay, we'll do it next week. We already heard him once today. We are running late.
We also are running late. It's almost 12:30. So, question of the week. Yeah, let's do Sean's idea. Let's do the food court idea.
I like it.
Okay.
So, what he said, and actually he sent this in a separate email, to kind of clarify. But he said in his email that he thought a good question of the week idea would be to create a video game food dish. But he revised that. And said, populate the food court in the video game museum we just created last week.
I love it.
So, something a little fun, you know, it doesn't require a whole lot of thought, because we did that.
Guys, if we're running a contest, I love puns.
Puns are great.
We can do a contest. Really,
do you want to make this a contest?
Let's do this.
What are we going to give away?
I don't know.
We should probably give out the prizes for the last three contests we haven't yet. That'd probably be a good idea.
Oh my God, you guys.
Did we do contests?
Let's not do it a contest. Let's do a contest that we'll pick a winner, but you might not get a prize.
You just get the satisfaction of being the winner.
Yes.
So the question of the week is, what restaurant would you put into the food court in the video game museum we just created?
You cannot do anything. Pac-Man Pizza Parlor.
That's like low tier, dude.
That's mine, and it's the best. So fuck you.
So send in the name and like a brief description, kind of like what they would serve and that kind of thing. So, to answer the question of the week, send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
Shit's leap.
Numbers.
Just don't talk as fast as Nabashin. Love you, Nabashin. You can get us on Google Talk as well. We are interactivedistractions@gmail.com. And you can always just record a voicemail, record a message and send it to us via email.
We'd like that.
We do like that.
Unless you talk too fast for GTalk or Gmail or whatever.
Hit us up at Indus Questions, @IndusQuestions on Twitters. We'll get to them all next week. I promise.
That's right. And then you can follow us on Twitter as well. We are Indus Podcast. And individually, we are Indus Chris, Unistrike, and Indus Geoff.
That's GEOFF.
G to the motherfucking Geoff.
Boy!
You can get us on Facebook, Steam, and Google+. Just search for Interactive Distractions and you will find us. And come join the community at Retroids.
Yay.
Join into the video game discussion. And you'll meet a ton of gamers that you can play multiplayer games with. If you're on PS3.
Word.
Usually, yeah.
And that's all I have. So you guys have anything else before we're done?
I don't.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, please leave us a review. So until next time, my name is Chris.
And I'm Jeff.
I'm Jason. Hosting ain't easy.
Says Chris. So much concentration.
Play your games and we'll talk to you.
I can't make jokes.